Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT.
Bandwidth for TWiT Live at CES is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com. This is TWiT's live coverage of the Consumer Electronics Show in Las Vegas, Nevada, Episode 6 for January 2010. TWiT Live at CES 2010 is brought to you by GoToMeeting. Do more and travel less with GoToMeeting. Make your next meeting a GoToMeeting instead. For your free 30-day trial, visit GoToMeeting.com/TWiT. And by Audible.com. To download a free audiobook of your choice, go to audible.com/twit. And remember to follow Audible on Twitter at audible_com. And by the new voice-activated Sync, featuring hands-free calling, music and podcast search, and turn-by-turn navigation. Available exclusively on Ford, Lincoln, and Mercury vehicles. For more details, visit syncmyride.com.
I could go all the way back to what did you do last night, but let's complete the thought about how
what,
we're getting
what
this.
Are we doing? What are we doing here?
Oh, you're more ADD than I am.
Yeah.
So what are we doing here? We are at CES, the Consumer Electronics Show, which is the big computer trade show or technology trade show every year in Vegas. Mm-hmm. This is the 2010 edition. You know, when we set this up, well, I hadn't been here in 6 years. When we set this up, because Macworld conflicted, and when we set this up, I thought, we'll be here kind of at the end, you know, as CES starts to fade into the distance, as Comdex did. So we'll kind of cover the shrinkage.
Fading.
Yeah. And it's true that last year CES really was down in size. I haven't seen numbers yet for this CES, but I can tell you right now, this is no fading conference. This conference is bigger than
huge.
Ever. In fact, in some ways, it's picked up where Comdex has left off. I saw all the same old faces that I used to see at Comdex. All the computer companies are here, plus all the consumer electronics companies, except for a couple of notable exceptions. You know, in some ways, the big announcements of this month are not going to be coming from CES, but they're coming from Apple at the end of the month. They're not here.
Right.
And from Google with the Nexus One phone. Now, the Nexus One phone
is
here.
Yeah.
But I haven't seen a Google booth. Have you seen a Google booth?
No.
Should look it up.
I haven't looked to see if they're here. We can go stop by if they do.
I don't think they're here. I think that Google made its announcement the day before CES for a very specific reason.
The Pepcom party that we went to earlier in the week, though, it wasn't a Google booth that was the Nexus One was located. It was a Nexus One booth. So,
oh, that's interesting. It was probably HTC.
Yeah.
Oh, so that's interesting.
It's very possible that Google may not have a booth, and it could be the equipment manufacturer.
Right. HTC. We are going to go. There is an Android party tonight.
Yes.
So we'll probably go to that. I don't think we'll stream live from there, because as I was saying earlier, if you just tuned in, what's turning out to be the case with the live streaming is we can't just get in a cab and go places and take you everywhere we go, because each time we arrive somewhere, there's about 15, 20 minutes of finding a connection that's suitable for streaming.
Yeah.
We knew that was going to be the big question mark. We're streaming here via a T1 provided by the Consumer Electronics Association. So we thank them for making that possible. And so we've got a great stream. But what's interesting is, you know, we have to stream something, send a signal somehow back to the cottage, where then it goes out on our EFM through Streamasaurus to all of our providers, BitGravity and Ustream and Justin.tv. So we have to have kind of a private, dedicated stream from here. And Colleen looked at all sorts of different ways of doing this. Everything from thousands of dollars in specialized hardware that uses the public internet to do this, kind of like the Xtreme, the Telos that I use for the radio show, to consumer products. And what she ended up choosing was the Slingbox. Believe it or not, the Slingbox, which is designed to send your cable TV back to or out to the internet so you can watch it, you know, in a hotel.
Anywhere.
Works great, especially if you throw a megabit or more at it. So we've got a Slingbox at this end connected to our output, our video output. That's going up to the cottage where we have a Sling Catcher. And that's getting great results.
It's fantastic. Yeah, it's funny? The quality is fantastic. Yeah.
So I have to correct myself, because if you're watching this, Justin TV, Ustream, and BitGravity are all of equal quality. So it doesn't matter what you watch. It's only when we're out in the field, when we're using EVDO, then we do it a different way again. We use EVDO and Flash Media Encoder to send it to the BitGravity High stream, that public endpoint. That broadcasts it out. Then Jammer B, who's holding down the fort at the cottage, picks it up. BitGravity High and sends that to everybody else. So that's the one that's double encoded. So that's only, that was for last night and the night before. Now, the good news is also, we've got Brent Bai, who's a great camera operator, who was following us around. And he'll be doing the handheld today at the show. But he was following us around last night and the night before with his Sony CineAlta EX1, which is a very good 1080p camera. So we have very high definition podcast video. So if you didn't see the shows last night and the night before, or the interview with Alan Mulally, the CEO of Ford, we've got great quality of that.
Our editors have been up all night, both nights, editing and putting together the cut down versions of our Showstoppers and Pepcom digital experience exploits.
And let's bring Jonathan up. He's from How Stuff Works.
Okay, great, Jonathan.
Yeah. Oh, Jonathan, come up here. We'll trade places with the
Keek. Yes, I will tag out.
You could stay. Actually, you could stay here. You could just talk on that mic.
Okay.
It depends what you... I just wanted to give you the freedom to leave if you'd like to.
I can't leave until Colleen can...
Please stay.
So yeah. I can't go anywhere.
HowStuffWorks.com.
Hi,
Marshall
Jonathan.
Brain is a great friend, and it's a great site. And what is new with HowStuffWorks.com?
Well, lots of things are new with HowStuffWorks. We've got tons of new blogs that have just gone up.
And, you mean more than just How Stuff Works?
Yeah, well, they're individual channels, just like on the website. So the newest one to come to the blogs is Fan Stuff, which kind of focuses on science fiction, fantasy, horror, genre type stuff.
Really? Yeah. How horror works?
Well, more like, kind of like a zeitgeist kind of thing, as far as the genre stuff goes. I'm actually deeply offended that they didn't ask me to write for it, since my dad writes science fiction, but hey... I get mentioned
Who's
in it
your
all
dad?
The time. My dad, his name's Brad Strickland.
Oh, yeah.
So Amazon.com, Brad Strickland.
Yeah, and I'm not sure about Audible. We'll have to check and see if he's on Audible, too.
Yeah, I think a couple
of
his books
are. There are a couple,
Yeah.
That's awesome.
With the Atlanta Radio Theater Company as well.
Oh, that's fantastic.
But,
does he do more of the hard science fiction, the tech-based science fiction?
His very first novel, To Stand Beneath the Sun, was a hard science fiction novel.
Nice. That's the kind I like.
Yeah. Me too. I'm a big hard sci-fi fan. Yeah. Well, you're a scientist.
I know. When I read stuff and I go, that would never work, it just doesn't
work. Right.
Yeah.
That's really neat. So it sounds like the How Stuff Works brand is extending now to being a bigger content brand than just
Huge.
How things work.
Yeah, we're really doing a lot more with Discovery Communications now. Mm-hmm. So we're actually...
Discovery bought you?
Mm-hmm. They bought us 2 years ago.
2 years ago, okay.
Yeah, and so we've been providing content for some of their sites as well. I also contribute blogs to Discovery News occasionally.
That's
and it's really an exciting time to be working at that company.
Discovery is one of the companies that gets content and gets it that it's not just a cable TV channel.
Right.
Yeah, it's not just 100 cable TV channels.
I mean, there's that whole 3D 24/7 thing that's coming out soon with Discovery. Yes.
What's that all about?
Well, you know, I was kind of curious too. I heard about it first when I got here. I think, oh, come on, guys. You could have given me a little heads up. But no, it's a... I just think of some of the programming like Planet Earth.
Would be beautiful.
That would be great in 3D.
Yeah, I'd love to see it.
I don't know that that's going to be enough. I mean, I know everyone's saying this. I don't know that that's going to be enough to push 3D beyond just sort of a niche market.
But that's what you need. I mean, if you make 3D analogous to HD, it was Discovery. It was one of the first channels to do 24/7 HD content on Discovery HD. And that does drive it, I think.
Yeah, and I could see things like the dinosaur shows
But you got one problem, which is they're not shot in 3D.
Right, yeah. You would have to go and shoot new content, really, or do some sort of weird conversion.
Well, Kiki and I saw, Toshiba has a TV with a cell processor in it, which is already kind of mind-boggling to have that much processor power in a TV. And one of the ways they're going to use it is to do 3D conversion of 2D content. Mm-hmm. And was that Sony? No, it was Sony, Toshiba.
It was Sony.
And because Sony makes the cell processor. Mm-hmm. I was pretty impressed by it. I thought that they actually were able to kind of give some three-dimensional
values, not as much as if it were shot that way,
right,
to a 2D
right.
Image.
But you get that illusion of depth that's...
Well, they had, for instance, they had a young woman. I think they're using depth of field as the cue.
Yeah, yeah.
Yep.
So if something's shot with some good depth, with some shallow depth of field, so something's blurry in the background and strong in the foreground or vice versa, they can convert that into more of a 3D
right,
image.
Right,
it looks like that's what they're doing.
They can interpolate the edges, probably.
That's right.
Edge detection.
We have soft edges. Okay, that's going to be
hard edges.
In distance.
Yep.
Yeah.
I've been saying mostly that 3D looks like it's going to be really great for event-type programs,
sports.
As well as sports, and video games. I think video gamers are ready for that next new thing. Everyone's been talking about what the next consoles are going to be, and I think we're still a year away before we hear anything about that. But I think 3D tech, I mean, I've actually played some of the video games that are available in 3D, and after playing them, I didn't want to play the normal version again. So.
I'm sure that's the hope of all of these people. We're in Vegas, and I think that the television manufacturers are at least doubling down, if not going all in on 3D.
Yeah, no, that's...
And I mean, think that's the hope of the bet, and it's got to be... It's got to succeed at home. It's got to succeed in the theater. They've got to find content that it succeeds with. And ultimately, they've got to get consumers to say what you just said, which is, I don't want to watch it in 2D anymore.
Right, right.
And I think the gamers are really going to go that direction. Mm-hmm. I think that it's going to drive content creators to create more in the 3D realm. You have to have the demand to drive the content creation. And until that happens, it's not going to... You have a bunch of... nice screens.
And it's and there's still so many hurdles to overcome. First of all, I don't imagine watching sitcoms in 3D. Second of all, if you're using the polarized glasses, then you're kind of stuck. You have to be sitting straight up and looking at the screen. You know, you start to lay down and suddenly the 3D effect goes away. There are problems.
I'm looking forward to, over at Toshiba, we saw the motion control.
Sorry, don't worry about it. We're just doing a TV show here, sir. Who should I make this out to? Make it out to Paul Theroux. Okay, well, I don't know. That was weird. But not usual for somebody that I work with ask for my autograph.
Nice.
I think that was a check, actually.
That might have actually been a loan application.
Yeah, I think that's what
that was. You just co-signed.
But I'm imagining that the motion control, so instead of remote control or instead of your little Wii controls, you're actually swimming through a 3D environment. Maybe you're pushing things out of the way to be able to get to a goal in a video game.
Like, so a combination of Natal and 3D would be pretty much
the
ultimate there.
It would be really interesting, and that could be the ultimate.
And then eventually we'll say, hey, you know what? You know what's almost as good as Natal in 3D? Actual human interaction.
You know,
there's
real world is three-dimensional.
Yeah. No, it'll never fly. I don't think it'll work.
Right.
Four-dimensional even.
Yeah.
It's nice to see you. Great to have you, Jonathan. And you know, your dad, we're big fans, so it's really nice to hear about that. And How Stuff Works is the webpage?
Yes, howstuffworks.com.
And the new stuff, will it be under How Stuff Works?
Yeah, actually, if you look at the homepage, there's a whole section on the right-hand side that leads to the blogs. So we've got that. And then there are sections that lead to our podcasts. We've got a ton of really popular podcasts. So it's a really exciting time to be working. I mean, when I started, we just did articles.
Right.
And now we're doing
multimedia,
everything.
Baby.
Oh, man. Yeah. It's exciting and exhausting and wonderful and the hardest thing I've ever done.
Have
all
fun.
Wrapped up in one.
Thanks for coming by.
Awesome.
Thank you very
appreciate
much.
It. Jonathan
very much.
Strickland, howstuffworks.com. We're back. Becky Worley is here from ABC, ladies and gentlemen. But, of course, she was the producer of the Screensavers when we launched, of Call for Help when we launched, and for many years on Call for Help, right?
Yeah.
The old days. You've seen her on Twitter, of course, many times. She and John C. Dvorak like to cross swords. And and now you're here covering CES for ABC, abcnews.com/technology.
Yep.
So... we did a. You were doing a piece. I'm going to a little behind the scenes.
Behind the scenes,
here.
How the sausage is made.
You were doing a piece on what? Booth Babes?
Well, no, it's the iteration of my famous theme of what's up with chicks at these shows,
which is a real theme. And I even brought this up earlier. They still have booth babes.
I know, but they've definitely toned the booth babes down.
Oh,
it's
but
not
look
like
back here. There's a girl in a mini skirt with thigh-high net stockings, and she's wearing a little gold top hat that's eight sizes too small.
Wow, that's a lot of bangles on the boobs.
And a bustier.
That's
typical.
Okay.
And there's no reason for that. This is a subwoofer company. But
it's for the buyers.
The buyers are mostly guys.
Yeah, they're dudes.
And I mean, we know dudes that have no, you know, somebody like that. It's like magpies.
Ding, 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 ding. homing beacon. I got no problem. I mean, the booth babes, I think, are funny in a way. It's kind of a, it's a tradition. I'm not slamming that. I just find it interesting, actually, more from a marketing perspective, that I feel like there is a battle of the sexes going on here.
Well, if you were a woman buyer, wouldn't you feel a little put off by that?
Yes. You know what I noticed walking down the hall of my hotel is that there were a lot of very good-looking women who are the hostesses.
That's another thing they do.
And when you're in a hotel room and having a meeting and there's a hostess and a bunch of dudes,
it's like a geisha.
It is. It's kind of creepy. If I were a buyer, I wouldn't dig that.
And then you go to the LG booth where they're showing off super thin, beautiful, I mean, really gorgeous displays, and they have a beautiful woman in a dress. She's not saying anything. She's not doing anything. Just standing there.
Whoa.
Just standing there.
Wow.
And I guess it's dressing, but I feel bad for that. That's a person.
Yeah.
And that's why I kind of feel bad for that.
It's like that thing where they serve sushi on a woman in a bikini.
Yeah.
Like, that's creepy. I'm not a dish.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe I am. Hey. But, yeah, okay, so we've got the booth babe element. There's one side of things. Then we've got actually looking at the products. And what I find is that in the years since we've started covering this show, the products have gotten so much better in terms of getting that, hey, women are controlling more than 50% of the CE dollars being spent on electronics. We know that women influence all these decisions. And, you know, you're starting to see some products that are real innovations for women. Dumb stuff like, not dumb, but just simple stuff, like baby monitors that have a talk back button. So you can be watching. This would be great for me.
Baby.
Stop playing. Time for bed. It's big mother, voice of God. But
that
could be useful. I mean, they're just little things that it's like, hey, you know all that innovation you brought to the toys? Can we bring that innovation to the tools, too?
Right.
And so it's not, you know, the sexism part, I think it's a funny part of Vegas in general.
It's
this
Vegas.
Is just crazy.
It's Vegas. As Dr. Kiki says, Vegas is like that bad friend who gets you to, you know, says, come on, let's go out for a drink.
Brings
come
out
on.
All your vices,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, that part of that is just Vegas, and that's just whatever it is. But I just think it's interesting that the old tool versus toy debate we used to have around enthusiasts love toys and the other people who use tech on a more utilitarian standpoint, and how to find room for both of those people and talk to both of those people.
Right.
And I think that that has some gender divide in it, too.
That's
so
interesting.
The backstory is Leo and I were going to do this story. Molly was the other voice I was going to have for World News. And
did
then,
you finish the piece?
I'd written it. Was everything. I didn't edit it, but it was written. And then morning of yesterday, I get a call saying, actually, we want to do, you know, the dashboard story about all the new
computers.
Technology
that's much
coming
more interesting.
Into cars.
Yeah.
Which was, I mean, I'm sure you've talked about this extensively with Ford's, you know, talk about the MyTouch.
Ford's
display.
A sponsor of our broadcast, as
right.
you probably noticed. So we talked a lot about it. In fact, I interviewed Alan Mulally, the CEO of Ford. I think it's really remarkable. I think it's American car company saying to an American technology company, Microsoft, let's create the best product in the world. And I think they've done it. And I think maybe it's a little jingoistic of me, but I think that's pretty exciting.
I think it's cool.
There's not been a lot exciting in Detroit. So to have a company doing something and making and doing well is really great.
One, it's American. Two, it's cars that we can afford. It's not Mercedes, Jag.
It started in the high end, and it's everywhere now.
And the
to
things
the
that
focus,
I think
it's everywhere.
Are the counterpoints to that. One, when you look at the controls on the wheel, there are too many buttons, in my opinion.
It's gotten more complicated. They added, three or four more in the new one.
It looks like a Nintendo kind of joystick with the four or five-way controllers, two of those.
Right.
Now, when you're learning the system, that's really distracted driving. When you get used to it, it's going to be great. And it's better than all the other stuff you're doing right now in terms of plugging your iPod in and looking for a song on your iPod.
Well, that's the problem. People are reaching over and they're tuning and stuff like that.
Right.
So at least it's voice activated. But
it is voice
I think
activated.
We're going to have
great.
To deal with a distraction factor.
And that's the point I was trying to make, which is we are already distracted. How car makers handle that is what's the iterative process now.
It's clear they're trying to make a living room on wheels. That the people say, I want the amenities that I have in my living room, including a DVD player and a television in my car.
Yeah.
And maybe we should just sit back and drive.
Now, I got a question for you, though, about the voice control, because they weren't able to demo that for me yesterday, and I haven't actually demoed
it. It's very good.
I went to a couple of aftermarket installations for these, and I found them to be very chinky.
Yeah.
I really low success rate.
Yeah.
I know it's the show, but even when I close the windows, some of those epic failed demos, you know, as a journalist, you go get some failed demos, and you can just see the sweat pouring off the poor demo dude.
Fresh gear lights on. This is an inside tech TV joke. Fresh gear lights on. It's Jim Latterback. You remember that,
no.
right?
No.
Oh, you don't remember
no.
that? Oh, yeah. The very famous fresh gear demo. Same thing. Trying to tell the lights to come on. Nothing.
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 Yeah.
The sync is much, much better. You do have to amend how you talk to it. But the technology in there is from Nuance that does Dragon, naturally speaking. This is the best. Again, another American company doing the best voice recognition that's out there.
Mm.
It's not perfect.
Right.
But it's much better because it's a constrained vocabulary. All it has to do is, you know, what is that? The Beatles or Bad Company? I can't. And like, occasionally you'll get a menu of choices. I couldn't understand that. Which of these is it? And it's usually pretty
right.
good. Sometimes it doesn't do a great job, but it's good enough. Now, when it's not, that's when it's a real distraction. Then
yeah.
you have a real problem.
Telenav announcing 3D GPS that will be in these Ford cars. 3D GPS?
I don't know what that's for.
Is it
Google Satellite, Google Maps kind of stuff? Or?
I haven't seen it. They've announced it. They haven't shown it. I'm
you know,
sure
they've
they'll
got a big problem.
More.
These two big Mac companies, Telenav and Nav, I think it's Navstar.
Navtech.
Are really being, I think, challenged by Google. And ultimately, I think what's going to happen is Google and Android are going to challenge Microsoft Auto and Navtech, these kind of proprietary solutions, with less than free solutions. They're going to say to the car manufacturers, we'll pay you to put this stuff
wow.
in. And these maps will have turn-by-turn. You know, the Google Droid, the Google phones now have turn-by-turn directions free.
Yeah, I think
so
they're desperate to come up
really
with
it's really a problem. So what is Telenav going to do? 3D!
Right. So,
it's big.
Okay,
what, do you have to put glasses on to look
no,
at it?
Right, it's not that short building. It's that tall building where I turn right.
No, it doesn't make any sense. It's gimmicky.
Yeah, so there were a couple things there that I was like, I don't know how that's going to play out. And, you know.
Now, you on ABC, you talk to real people as opposed to the geeks that we talk to here. Are their interests different?
Oh, yeah. I mean, first off, there's just the straight, I don't know if I can say this, but gadget porn effect, which is just show me something
shiny.
That's shiny, shiny.
Yeah.
I mean, on GMA we did the AR drone, which is the iPhone-controlled flying quadrifoil.
You know, as soon as I saw that, I said every TV channel will show that, even
up.
Though there's no point.
Right.
We had it on Call for Help. It's a remote-controlled helicopter vehicle.
Right. Yeah. No, so that, you know, that kind of stuff is visual. And the remote control happens to be an iPhone.
So that makes it tech.
Ding.
Yeah.
You know, I think everybody wants to see the Neato vacuum cleaner, which is the new competitor to Roomba. I got a good look at that. It is interesting because it does, for me, this is a big deal. It has a linear pattern that it lays down on the carpet.
And it's square, so it can get corners.
Oh, yeah. It gets corners. But
and it's got a Swiffer. Kat Schwartz is going to be really excited about that.
Oh, I invented the Swiffer. Mm-hmm.
Kat, I invented the Swiffer Schwartz. That's what we call her.
But, I mean, like, little things like that. The fact that, you know, Roomba leaves that crazy I was drunk
circle.
While I was vacuuming
right,
pattern.
Right,
but
right.
this one leaves a nice linear pattern. That's a big deal.
Right.
Things like that matter. And you never know. I mean, I think things like with the Nexus One, the voice search, which is built in straight out of the
fantastic.
Box. That is the kind of thing that fits both geeks
yeah.
and,
yeah.
you know, your layman. Now, mind you, while I was demoing this on GMA, I thought what was phenomenal was that I could say, George Stephanopoulos, and it would pull up images of George Stephanopoulos. So I did this demo, and I was very proud
live
of myself.
On
live
GMA.
On GMA, which was terrifying. And then Jimmy Kimmel took it.
Oh, no.
Grabbed the demo.
Oh, no.
Played it on his monologue, and instead of when the search result came up where my phone was, and it had pictures of George Stephanopoulos, they had a picture of Snuffleupagus. So,
hey, Jimmy Kimmel was watching. That's all that matters.
I'm slightly honored, but a little bit horrified.
George Snuffleupagus.
Right.
Oh, that's funny. Well, it's brave of you to try that on television.
You know, I decided that if you're going to do anything crazy, you might as well do it at CES. You know, another example of a product that is very for the layman is a product called TabSafe. And what this is it's a electronic dispenser of medications. Cartridges are loaded with all the dosage, so it's all preloaded for a month. Programmed to dispense at the exact times when the user needs their medication. So the thing about it that's phenomenal is it connects up to your phone line.
Oh, that's interesting. So this is, I don't have to visit my elderly parents at all.
You don't have to go to Rhode Island?
Never again. Mom, sorry. I got you tab safe. That should keep you for a month anyway.
It can be programmed to call you if she misses her meds.
That's actually
great. It
takes great.
Blood pressure
great.
And blood sugar.
I'm being
and
facetious,
it can,
but that's really important.
It keeps
important.
A web log of
wow.
all of those readouts that can be sent to doctors, to remote children. That's the kind of stuff that screams out,
cool.
this solves a worry in my life. And
yeah.
I love technology that helps solve problems.
Yeah. That's a natural for ABC.
Yeah.
You know, I have a scale that tweets my weight.
I have been contemplating pitching that as my health story.
Well, if you need anybody,
you're a good sport.
I'll tell you.
You know what this is it takes your belief in sort of open source to a whole new level. Your transparency belief
open
is
weight.
Epic.
Open weight. Becky Worley, you're the greatest. ABCnews.com/technology. And, of course, BeckyWorley.com. We'll get you back on Twit real soon.
It's been a pleasure.
You're the only one who can keep Dvorak in line.
I know. He's the only one I haven't seen at this show of all our guys. I know.
He's not here. He doesn't come to this anymore.
The ultimate curmudgeon.
It's beyond him. He doesn't want anything to do with it.
They must have scaled back the marketing dollars
That's
for expensive
right.
wine.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly right. Thank you, Becky. Great
My
to
pleasure,
see you.
Leo.
All right, we're going to bring in Robert Scoble, who brought me a latte to pay me to get on the air.
Best $3 investment I ever made.
So what are you doing? You're here with Mark Ostrich. You're going around. You're shooting stuff.
We're trying to find something cool, which is a really hard task this year.
Well, what do you think about 3D TVs? I'm asking everybody.
Like Dane and I were just talking, they're cool in the way the 108-inch TV was cool 3 years ago.
Right.
But I don't see buying one anytime soon.
Oh, that's interesting.
Because there's no content.
Well, there will be. I mean, DirecTV's going 3D. There's going to be sports 3D.
There's going to be sports, but look at ESPN. How many hours a day are they actually going to put up?
Well, it's just like when HD came out. Remember HD came out?
I know, but
Discovery's announced Discovery 3D.
If I'm Bill Gates, I'm going to buy one, right?
Yeah.
But if I'm Robert Scoble, I ain't buying one of these in the next 3 years.
Well, and this is, I think the reason you're seeing them make this big bet on 3D is they were so fat and happy when everybody was buying HD TVs.
Yeah.
That they're trying to figure out, well, what can we do to get them back into the store to buy stuff again?
Yeah.
And so
now, the cool thing is the 3D games.
I think those are fun.
Those are things people will buy
and
this
there
Christmas.
And there
right?
are people we're going to talk about in just a bit with Twitch is coming up this week in Computer Hardware with Ryan Schrout. There are people who are doing 3D laptops. So,
yeah.
You know, that's for gaming, obviously.
Yeah.
And certainly 3D PCs as well.
Yeah. The people were raving about the Avatar game and...
Huh.
So,
what else are you looking at that you like? Anything else that you saw that was kind of...
You know, it's a show... It's a different kind of show than it was 4 years... 4 years ago, it was a news launch vehicle for a lot of companies.
Right.
Now it's not so
The internet's
much,
changed that,
The internet's
it?
Changed that, right? We've already read all the news. Boxy there's is no, one of my favorite things, but...
That Boxy box is cool, though.
It's cool, but...
You know, already knew about it?
Yeah.
See, I didn't know about
and,
it.
So... But that's, like, one of the few pieces of news that I really, you know, are like, yeah. You know, LG, example of the kind of trend that's going on here is LG has this new screen with Skype TV in it. That's sort of cool. It's not going to get as hot and bothered like the Apple tablet will when it comes out, hopefully.
But you know what you were just talking about with Becky Worley is that there's a different audience for... you know, her audience, her ABC audience, is very mainstream.
Yeah.
They might say, oh, that'd be great. I can watch the birthday party on the TV.
Yeah.
For a mainstream audience, that might be more compelling than for geeks who've been using Skype for years and what's the big deal?
Well, I think if you have a parent or a friend
the parents are going to be into it, right?
Who's not into Skype,
right.
This is a big deal.
So it's good to remember there's really two audiences.
Yeah.
And I think for the geek audience, the big stories of the month are not at CES. They're the Nexus One and whatever Apple does on the 26th. That's the story. Your Nexus One?
No.
Have you used the Droid? Or?
Yeah, I have the Droid. I have a Droid. I'm carrying three
I have
phones
a Droid.
Here.
Yeah, iPhone, Droid,
iPhone, Droid,
and now Nexus One.
Nexus One.
I'm going to be in the same boat as you because I ordered the... It's waiting for me when I get home. I ordered the Nexus One.
It is better,
It's much faster, right?
It's way better than the Droid.
Yeah.
The T-Mobile sucks.
Yeah, I know.
Especially here. Verizon, the only reason I'm carrying three phones, AT&T, I can't get on 60% of the time.
Right. This is a Sprint
Verizon
town.
Verizon is very reliable.
This is a Sprint town. And, you know, it's interesting. We, with that live streaming you just saw as people were, as Kiki was walking around the show floor, we do that with EVDO, obviously, because we have a T1 here at the booth, but out there it's EVDO. And what Colleen will have to do at every venue, we have a card from every manufacturer, including Clear, 4G, and we'll test each one and figure out which one's giving us the best, most consistent bandwidth. We only need 300K up.
Yeah.
But it's very there's no one right answer. It's different every time we try.
Yeah.
So we were using the Clear, I think, out there. Then we switched to the Verizon, which you're right is very good. Clear's Sprint here.
Yeah. I'm impressed that you're able to get bandwidth here.
Well,
I'm in the Trump Tower.
It's not
and the
easy.
Bandwidth sucks.
It's not easy when you get a lot of geeks in one small area that there's nobody can build out that much. I was talking to Loic, who put on LeWeb. You you were there, yeah. I know. And you were commenting about how great the bandwidth was there. Yeah. But you know what Loic had to do. He had to get a gigabit pipe in there, and then I'd had British Telecom come in and do all the wireless stuff. I mean, he had to really spend a lot of money to make it work. I don't think Las Vegas spends that kind of money when CES comes to town. No gigabit pipes here.
So have you? You've been doing the show all week long. Have you seen anything that? Because I'm talking to all these journalists, and we're just bored, tearless.
I think there's two big stories. There's a 3D story, obviously, and I think the story for me is this going to be compelling for consumers, or are these companies making a massive bet on a technology that is going to be a flop? And I go back and forth. I think sports is a pretty compelling argument. Yeah. You're right, gaming is. But I think in the long run, I see this more as a flop than as a success. Yeah. I think they're making a mistaken bet. And then the second big story, of course, is telematics, automotive computing.
Yes.
And a huge story here.
Yeah.
Ford, one of them, but all of these companies, Microsoft Auto. I think you're going to start seeing cars that have all the connectivity that you're used to in your living room. And the question then is, who's driving?
Yeah.
So that's going to be very
interesting. Well, we've talked about that. And you saw that I interviewed the Ford engineer who built the radar systems in the cars. And I just reposted those videos over the weekend. It's really interesting. 70-80% of people who come and comment there say, I want this tomorrow. The technology we're talking about is
the bliss stuff, the parking stuff.
Well, there's radar that looks ahead to protect you if you're about to get in an accident.
Right.
And it does a whole bunch of stuff on the car. Or it just makes your cruise control better because it follows the car in front of you. If he speeds up, you speed up. If he slows down, you slow down. Really cool stuff. But 70% of the people said, oh, I want this tomorrow. I think that's the coolest thing. 30 are, a small group are like, I don't ever want to be in a car where the computer is driving.
There's a lot of resistance that I asked the CEO of Ford, Alan Mulally, I keep dropping his name. My good buddy, Alan Mulally, on Wednesday, how soon for autonomous vehicles? And he says, I hope never. He says, I like to drive. I think people want to drive. I don't think they want the car to drive. And I think that's probably in the bottom.
But assisted driving.
Assisted's cool.
You know,
assisted's cool. I asked him about the Flex. It parks itself, you know.
Yeah.
He says, that's cool, but really people want to drive.
Yeah.
And I'm sure that Ford is doing, as all the manufacturers are, is doing a lot of research on what expectations are, what Washington will do, because you've also got to think of the regulatory environment.
Yeah.
The engineering's there. They can do a lot of this autonomous stuff.
Oh, yeah.
The question is, will lawmakers and the public go for it?
Well, and all you need is one glitch to cause an accident.
One bad accident.
Look at the Toyota recall, right? One guy died because his floor mat got stuck the gas pedal got stuck underneath the floor mat, caused a recall of 4 million vehicles, huge PR mess.
Right.
You know, really blackened.
And a freak accident.
Well,
let's face it.
You know, but. Yeah.
One guy, that's a freak accident.
What happens if your car does something like that, you know, and does something
wrong?
Well,
we've seen that, you know, stuck accelerators that put you through the garage door or you know, a sudden acceleration that you didn't ask for, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Robert, great to see you.
Thanks, man.
Building 43, rack space, baby.
Yeah.
Yeah. Building43.com?
Yeah.
All right. It's good to see you. Scubbelizer.com is the blog. Have a great time. Brad Stone from the New York Times is here. Hey, Brad, it's good to see you.
Hey, Leo, how are you?
I'm great. So you are covering the CES along with other people from the New York Times, including, I think it was Miguel who wrote the story on the car electronics that got a lot of attention.
That's actually Ashley Vance.
Ashley wrote that, got a lot of attention. Of course, that's a big story here is the car electronics. And everybody at CES is going, oh, cool, your living room on wheels, you can watch DVDs, you can tweet. But I think the Times raised a really good point. What about safety?
You may not be paying attention to the road.
Yeah, yeah. So I think that's a fascinating story, which got a lot of coverage. ABC changed their coverage from they were going to do booth babes to electronics. So, I mean, and I know when I called KFI to give a report, that was the first thing they asked about. So clearly that's getting a lot of attention.
I mean, I think anyone who has ever used a GPS device, who has, fiddled with their satellite radio in the car, knows that, you know, it takes your attention away from the road. And the industry, you know, left unchecked, will push as much technology into the automobile as they can. And,
absolutely.
You know, we all need to sort of realize that there's a trade-off and that safety is a big issue.
What story are you writing or working on?
I've been looking at a couple of things. Obviously, the amazing proliferation of e-readers and tablets at the
show
this year.
It's funny. It really looked like Amazon owned this, and there maybe was a little slice left for Barnes & Noble. Maybe Apple will do something and kind of challenge that. But it doesn't seem like there's a lot of room for other people, and yet there might be half a dozen e-book readers on the floor.
who hasn't come out with an e-book device this year?
What do you think? They have a shot at it?
Absolutely. I mean, I think it's early days, and the early days of the PC, there's just a lot of variety and a lot of innovation. I mean, some of the most interesting devices, there are a lot of Me Too devices, which I think, are going to have a real challenge in the marketplace.
Copia? Social reader. Right,
and they, of course, have a service and devices. There are some dual screen devices at the show this year. Very interesting. One's called the Edge by a company called Entourage, and you have basically two screens, an LCD screen and a reading screen of equal size and a sort of dual hinge in the middle.
We were just talking about that. So that looks to me like, I don't know if you saw that kind of mock-up video that came out of Microsoft Labs. They called it the Courier.
That's right.
This looks just like that.
Somewhat similar. Now, I'll tell you the one I liked a little better. You may remember when Barnes & Noble introduced the Nook, they were sued by a company called Spring Design in Taiwan. And it seemed like, maybe this was like a patent troll. Spring Design is at the show, and it's been demonstrating its device. It's called Alex. And you kind of see what the Nook was supposed to be. Instead of a small little LCD strip, it's a full kind of a screen you'd see on a mobile phone.
They're not using e-ink at all?
No. It's a 3-inch kind of Android power device.
Plus
e-ink. And then
e-ink.
Above that, a 6-inch e-ink, and there's one button in the middle. Uh-huh. And you got a web browser. You can have your bookstore. You see it all in color. And when you want to see something on the e-ink screen, you hit the button, and it appears above.
Isn't the key for all of these, though, the content deal? I mean, you got Amazon and Barnes & Noble got content.
So who's left?
Yeah,
Borders. And Borders did a deal with with Alex.
That's good.
This other company. Right. So, we're finding that these stores, at least Barnes & Noble and Borders, and the one you mentioned, Copia, are becoming kind of plug-and-play content.
Right.
If
they support
systems.
EPUB, then everybody will
That's
support
right.
it.
That's right. They're forging their own relationships with the book publishers and the magazine publishers and the newspapers and the device makers. I mean, although I agree with you, I did see some devices that seemed sort of devoid of content, or they had done a deal with Google for,
Yeah, great. You could get public domain.
Yeah, the War and Pieces. But you're right. Content, very, very important.
Hearst had made a big deal about doing a reader because they wanted to, save their dead tree business by putting it on there. I'm sure the Times has something like that as well. Have you seen anything
from
Hearst?
Yeah, right. Yeah. So they rolled out a company called Skiff. They've announced the name recently, and they were showing the Skiff reader.
Yeah.
Magazines
only, or is it books?
No. It's going to be everything.
Yeah.
It looks great. A big kind of Kindle DX size, very thin.
Interesting. So it is more like a newspaper reader. Yeah.
It's large format. Now, if you're customizing for periodicals, then the grayscale e-ink, doesn't quite get you to where you want to be. Now they did show that kind of first generation color e-ink. With the color filter layer on top, and it sort of reduces the luminescence, but you get basic color. Again, not all the way there, but they're also thinking of themselves as in terms of a service, and they want the Skiff store, the Skiff newsstand, to be available to all these other readers.
Right. For them, that's a big part of their deal because they are a content creator. So the content, they're coming from the other angle almost as a content first. Was it Paper Logic also? There's another
Plastic Logic, right? And they had what I found to be an absurdly early press conference yesterday at 7:30 a.m. I mean, talk about courting a grumpy press.
Well, they were also early on the hardware too, so it's fitting.
And they announced their Pro Q reader. It is targeted at mobile professionals, and it will have to be because it's $649. But it looks great. I mean, it's large and thin, but they're kind of pitching it as a document reader, the replacement for the briefcase full of documents.
Right.
It does have a Barnes & Noble store and the publication relationships, but it's a different play. It's a more focused play.
Right.
But it'll be interesting. They spent 10 years on the plastic fabrication technology, and they're hoping to license that to other players as well.
It's really interesting to come to an event like CES because you see all the Me Too products. And this is an example. You have a leader and then a lot of
little fish swimming along in the school trying to duplicate it.
I think the leader makes the market.
Right.
And then there's a lot of opportunity. We're interesting because in the tablet area, the leader hasn't come along yet.
Everybody's pre-announcing the leader.
I saw a fantastic...
The putative leader, anyway.
I saw a fantastic tablet from Lenovo in one of their private demonstrations.
The U1 is amazing.
Yeah, it looks like a laptop, and then, out pops the screen as a tablet, and it was fantastic.
I liked it too. And it feels heavy because it's so small, but it's only 3.5 pounds, 10-hour battery life on the
nice
slate.
Nice UI with the touch screen.
And note that they called it a slate.
Right.
Clearly thinking, well, maybe Apple will call theirs a slate. Do you have any thoughts about what Apple might do at the end of the month? Is this going to preempt everybody's announcements here? Dell, HP, everybody's doing slates.
Right.
Lenovo?
No, I think, obviously Apple will probably get the majority of the attention and some market momentum at the beginning. But, one way to think about it is, what is the kind of defensible aspect of a presumed Apple slate? Now, with the iPhone, they have this app store, right? It gives them a great advantage.
Right.
They're far and away the leader above some of the other application-oriented smartphones. With the... with an Apple slate, I wonder if that advantage holds. An Apple slate would have to support Flash, for instance, if it's going to give you a web browsing experience. The iPhone does not, and that's one way that they lock in app developers. Well, maybe all these applications providers can just port right over to all the other slates out there, in which case you end up competing on things like price, which Apple's not going to probably be the most competitive on.
And most notably, Apple's not here. They do their own thing. They never play with the other companies in the same pool. They like to have their own pond all to themselves. Google made a big announcement the day before CES, the Nexus One phone. And of course, this is a big show for cell phones as well. But I don't think I've seen anything as compelling as the Nexus One on the show floor.
No, I agree. I mean, Palm has gotten... I don't cover mobile phones. I know Palm, in updating the Pre and the Pixie, has taken some momentum out of the show.
Right.
I played around with the Nexus One a little bit.
It's pretty nice,
isn't
it?
It looks like a nice phone.
Yeah. Brad Stone with the New York Times. It's great to see you. I know we'll see you again January 20th. Well, if there is anything going on January 26th, we'll see you.
we know there definitely is by the end of the month, and,
we see what it is.
We'll await word.
Yeah.
Yes.
So great to see you. Thanks for coming
by.
I appreciate it. Yeah, Brad Stone, New York Times. He's in the San Francisco bureau and covers all those tech. And Brad does a really great job of covering tech. He's one of the most astute tech reporters in the business. Ryan Block is here from GT Gadget. You got your party tonight.
Hey.
With Lenovo.
Can't wait for it.
Yeah, I can't wait
I'm
either.
Good.
I'm coming. So
can't wait to have you.
We've talked a little bit already about stuff you've seen and so forth. This is a gadget show, isn't it?
It is. It is a consumer electronics show. I actually think they should rename it. I think it should be the consumer technology show, because back in the day, consumer electronics were it. That was it. It was just things you could hold. There were no services. There was no wireless.
Right.
There was no, you know what I mean?
It
was really just about something you could purchase and bring home, and it's got this enclosed experience. Now, it's personal technology is so broad. It's so wide. It's services. It's carriers.
And mobile is huge, though.
Mobile is massive.
Once the slate comes out, nobody's going to have a tethered computer. It's all going to be mobile.
And, half that is the service. So, I don't know. It's Consumer Electronics Show, and there's a lot of gadgets out there. But I actually think it should be the Consumer Technology Show.
Consumer Technology Show. I like it. Of course, it's the CEA that puts it on, so I don't think it's ever going to change.
Right. Well, they might have to become the CTA.
They might have to change their name as well. Let's see what you got here. Oh, now I ordered this, and I presume that it's waiting for me at home.
Which camera are we live on right now?
You want to show a close-up of it? We could put it on this camera. We've got a little tight shot. Hold on a second. There, that's the tight shot camera, so you could put it right down there.
All right.
This is the Nexus One, the new Google phone. And can you see the monitor there? Can you see what's happening?
Yeah, I can see
it
a little bit.
Over there, that's it.
Yep. And so this is this has a 480 by 800 screen, so can't really tell.
Is that the same as the Droid or no?
It's the same as the Droid. It's a little bit tinier than the Droid. It is incredible. It is an unbelievable screen.
You know how many of those I've seen so far today? A lot of people ordered
Nexus ones?
Yeah, a lot of people ordered them on Tuesday immediately. Clearly, there's a market, at least among the kinds of people who hang out at CES.
To me, if you're not looking at the iPhone is a beast unto itself, but if you're not looking at the iPhone, this is possibly the best phone without a keyboard you can get today.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But Android has its problems. I'm not a huge Android fan. I've got some issues with it.
This is better than the Droid because it's faster?
It is certainly faster.
Doesn't have the slide-out keyboard, which you don't care about.
Yeah, well, you told me that I love keyboards.
You told
I
me
really
the keycaps
do.
Peel right off on the Droid. Was it
a little bit, yeah. It's got a really thin keyboard. It's actually so kind of hard to use. I'm a big fan of keyboards. I'm not a huge fan of the Droid keyboard.
Right.
This one is pretty good. The screen is large enough that the virtual keyboard is not that bad. But
I'm of the opinion that a virtual keyboard's fine. I mean, I use the iPhone, and I've gotten used to it. And if you'd asked me 2 years ago, I might have said, oh, I need a physical keyboard. But be honest, on the Droid, I rarely use the physical keyboard. In fact, if ever,
then this might be the thing.
I think
for you.
I might be fine. It's very thin. It's very light, which is kind of nice. This case is pretty nice. It's rubberized on the back, but metal on the is that metal on the front? It feels like it.
Yeah, and it's a 5-megapixel camera. It has
It's a better camera than the Droid. At least the software is better because I've looked at some of the pictures people have been taking, and the color looks better, the saturation looks better, the resolution feels better because the Droid really seems soft a little.
Yeah, a little bit. I mean, yeah. Motorola is still, I think, trying to figure out how to make a really good Android phone. This is a great
device. HTC knows. There's no question.
They do. They are arguably the most advanced cell phone company.
Yeah.
In the world. You could say that Apple makes better phones. You could. I don't know if everybody would say that, but HTC makes the most technologically advanced cell phones.
I love HTC phones.
I would say this is probably, for the money, the most advanced cell phone on the market today, right now.
Is it the App Store that makes a difference between that and the iPhone?
That's a big part of it. It's a lot of the way the Android works, in my opinion. These little visual ticks and some of the problems. Google is a web company. They understand the web really well, and I think they're still struggling on the device side. They've got some expertise, but, I mean, it's going to take them a little while, I think, to get it right.
Now, the negative on this is it's T-Mobile.
Well, right it depends now. On who you ask. I mean, some
right
people
now.
Might say
Verizon
it's positive.
Verizon says it's going to sell them. Yeah, T-Mobile's happy. I have the N900 on my T-Mobile chip right now, and I'm thinking that maybe I should replace it with the Nexus One. Would you?
I think this would actually be a really good replacement.
Yeah.
Honestly,
the N900 is a little bit of a disappointment. The screen is not as responsive as I'd hoped.
N900 was... I mean, that thing is a beast.
It's a beast. Big. It runs Flash. It's got a usable
keyboard.
So
this is supposed to have a Flash plugins in.
Really?
Yeah.
That would be a kind of a game changer.
I think within the next 1 or 2 months.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I see more and more developers doing Android Marketplace stuff. Even stuff that was, kind of a key to the iPhone, like Evernote is moving over. Mm-hmm. You're seeing a lot of those key applications that I can't
Well, you get this horizontal effect on Android, right? I mean, the iPhone, you get this amazing vertical effect where you've got millions and millions of users worldwide on a single phone.
Right.
But with Android, it's strength in numbers. You've got so many devices coming out right now with Android on it. You can't ignore you can't ignore
larger
it.
Devices. There's a lot of Android. There's netbooks here. The e-readers have Android.
There are. Yeah, the Spring Design Alex runs Android.
Yeah. Alex looks pretty cool.
Yeah, the Barnes and Noble Nook
has a little Android strip in it. Mm-hmm. The Alex is a bigger strip, right? It is
a little bit bigger, and the Nook actually has kind of a custom interface for books, whereas the Alex is really kind of an Android interface on the bottom.
Really? Interesting.
Yeah, and then HP was showing off a SmartBook prototype that runs Android. It's very similar to the HP Mini, netbook form factor, except it's running Android. It has a touchscreen, and then you're typing into it, and it was actually a really, really interesting user experience. It's very, very unusual.
What about multi-touch? To me, that's kind of a key feature. That Android can handle multi-touch, I understand. But none of the devices so far support it. Why is that?
So far, the reason it's been that way is because Google made the decision not originally to do a built-in multi-touch framework.
Right.
Right. So it was very inconsistent. You could do multi-touch, but the vendor like HTC or Samsung had to build it in.
Okay.
Now Google's actually started supporting that out of box in 2.0. But the catch here is none of their applications support it.
Yeah.
So this phone supports multi-touch. The hardware is multi-touch. The operating system supports multi-touch.
But the apps aren't.
But the browser doesn't support multi-touch. And Google Maps doesn't support multi-touch.
Oh,
so
man.
Eventually they'll get
change.
To that too. Yeah, it'll change.
So
but if you're buying it now.
Is almost there. It's just the app.
But it's not there yet.
Oh,
yeah. If you're buying it now, it's not multi-touch.
Right.
If you buy it now, in 6 months, chances are those apps will probably be updated with multi-touch. Right. But right now, it's not there.
And most of the ones we want updated are actually Google Apps. So
yeah,
the browser,
I know. It's photos, the stuff out of box.
That should be all. So I think that that's reasonable to expect that Google will get
to
that.
They will. I mean, they wouldn't have gone to the trouble to add multi-touch to Android if they were going to do the apps, but they're not doing it all at once.
So it's 2.0 is the cutoff. That's when multi-touch came into
it
Android.
It started coming in 2.0. This is actually running 2.1, which is the newest, latest version.
Right.
This is the only phone that runs 2.1 right now. So we'll see some 2.1 updates coming out soon, I think probably for the Droid and for some of the other devices on the market. But yeah, I mean, this is if you want 2.1, if you want the latest, if you want the live wallpaper, which is actually really neat. I don't know if you got that on camera.
I saw a couple of people. Let's see if we can get it on camera. Which one are you using?
So this one is, it's really hard to see on camera. I'll switch it to another one. But it's a clock. And so each one of those bars represents, you know, the middle, the center one is month, the second one is day, hour, minute, second.
But it's live as a background. It's live wallpaper.
Exactly. So it's not moving very quickly. So let me actually change that out really quick.
There's one where you can touch the
I'm gonna load that one up. It's really...
In a way, all that's showing off is horsepower. It's got a lot. Look, somebody's coming up behind us because he wants to see it.
Okay, so this one, it has little beams shooting left and right.
Yeah,
and when I touch the background, the beams start flowing under my fingers. Kind of like a neural matrix.
Yeah, completely useless. However,
there's totally
enough CPU left over that they can do that.
But you know, it's this kind of eye candy, I think, that can really attract people.
You bet.
Absolutely.
Yeah, we shouldn't say useless. I mean, that's absolutely when.
Well, it's useful for some things, but not traditionally useful. We'll do one more.
Right.
I'll show you the water.
Let me get the water. So when you touch it, it goes.
So yeah, when you touch it, it ripples.
That's pretty cool. I have to say, that actually is a lot of horsepower, a lot of CPU to do something like that.
Yeah, so that was one of the other updates in Android 2.1 is they added 3D acceleration. So if your hardware supports 3D, and this one, of course, does, then you'll be able to utilize some of that horsepower. Now, granted, the iPhone has done that since basically day one.
Right.
That's one of the reasons why the UI is very fluid and it's been able to play games for so long.
And they've got
Android's getting there. And actually, that was one of the things that Palm announced yesterday too, is that
Palm had some webOS announcements. Tell me about that, because they're getting. I feel so bad for Palm. They're getting such short shrift now. Nobody's paying any attention to them at all.
They've got some work to do. I think they're working hard, but they've got to get really, really aggressive because basically Apple has a really long lead on everyone.
Yeah.
And they've got to get with it, and they've got to get caught up.
WebOS is a great OS. I think the Palm handsets were good handsets. So did they update the handsets, or did they update the OS?
They did both. The OS is, I think, what's most important about the announcements yesterday. So they announced 1.4. Included in that is video recording and video editing.
Finally.
So, yeah, very similar to what Apple added in 3.0 with the 3GS.
Right.
And another thing they added was actually Wi-Fi hotspot capability. So, you know the MiFi, how it's basically an EVDO modem that you can share over Wi-Fi to five users. Yeah, so now your Palm device, you can turn on the Wi-Fi and it will share its 3G connection to up to five devices.
That's a Sprint thing too, really, because it's their 3G.
It's Verizon only right now.
Oh, you're kidding.
Well, so on the device side, yeah, they announced Verizon, so they're the Pri and the Pixie are coming to Verizon.
And the sharing is only Verizon?
Only Verizon right now.
Oh, man.
But it's going to cost you. It's not cheap. It's probably going to be about $50 to $60 a month. They haven't announced.
Oh, that's outrageous.
They said it was going to be kind of
similar to what you would pay for the USB
MiFi
card.
Yeah.
I like the MiFi, but I love the idea of not having an extra device to do that.
Absolutely.
What's new in the OS?
It was those things. It was the hotspot capability. Some performance improvements.
Okay,
they're doing some
and we
stuff
get that
platform.
Automatically if I have a Sprint pre,
exactly.
Except for the tethering.
Yeah, and then part of the new SDK is they're enabling 3D gaming support.
Cool.
To a limited extent. I mean, it's
what about handsets? New handsets?
So they announced the Pre Plus and the Pixie Plus, which they look very, very similar.
Okay,
it would actually be difficult to tell the difference if you were looking at them side by side.
Right.
Basically, the only difference on the Pre is that it's missing that little silver button in the middle.
Okay.
It's a touch button now. So it's very, very similar. They've doubled the internal storage. So it used to be 8, now it's 16
gigs. That's
good.
Always good.
It's on Verizon, of course.
Good.
And the keys are a little bit different. So that should be coming out later this month.
Good. One more gadget. Anything else you think is interesting?
Oh, you know, I've seen some stuff behind closed doors.
Oh, you can't talk about it.
I can't talk about it. But there's actually some really, really good stuff coming. I don't know. Have you seen any of these 3D TVs?
I've seen all of them. Yeah. I went and looked. You know, I'm not a big 3D fan. You know me. I don't like the glasses. I don't think it's a great idea.
I'm so with you.
Reduces the quality of the image.
It's blurry. Yep. My eyes are watering. Yep. My head is hurting.
Headache. Yep.
I'm just not feeling it. And And that every company is talking about 3D this year.
They've doubled down, to use a Vegas analogy. Well, maybe they're all in. They're really serious.
Well, you know what it is everybody has HD TVs now. They have no way to differentiate.
Right.
They're
right.
trying really hard to come up with something new that people right. are going to be interested in. And that's the best they've been able to come up with.
I acknowledge I could be wrong. I have been wrong before. I just don't see it.
I don't think it's a right or wrong. Yeah. I think it's experiential. Some people really like it. I think for people like you and I mean, look, there's no right or wrong. I mean, if your head hurts when you watch it,
that's
your head
the
hurts
way
when
it
you
is.
Watch it. Yeah, I can't do it.
Yeah, me neither.
You can't do it either.
I think maybe sports and gaming, maybe.
Yeah.
Sports would be great.
Sports is probably the killer app for it. Everybody's really excited
Obviously,
about
DirecTV
sports.
Feels that way. They've announced HD channels.
Yeah, exactly.
Discovery feels that way. They're going to do things like the Discovery Science and Nature in 3D. And I guess you'll have to buy a new TV.
Yet again.
Not me.
Yeah.
Ryan, it's great to see you. GDGT.com gadget. Now with news.gadget.com with a customizable news stream based on your gadgets. And you saw my phone. I have a special sticker on my phone. Let me pull this up so you can see it. It says have. So if you run into Ryan, ask him for a have sticker. This is a play on GDGT where you say what gadgets you have, what gadgets you want. I guess it wouldn't make any sense to print a want sticker.
Only if you're going to put it on other people's gadgets.
Go
to the store and slap it on all these gadgets.
That could be viral. You could go viral.
We should partner with like Best Buy or somebody like that and just have everybody put one on every package.
What time's your party?
Well, it's not open to everybody.
Okay, so don't tell anybody. Just tell it to me.
Well, yeah. I'll
be coming.
It's going to be at 9 o'clock.
I can't wait. Yeah. If I can stay up.
If you've RSVP'd.
It's past my bedtime.
Yeah. You don't have to stay for too long.
All right. I'll just pop in. It's great to see you.
Thanks, Leah.
Thanks. Peter Rojas is here, too, from GDGT. And, of course, Veronica's here with Core and Texilla. And I think you use Veronica a little bit on Gadget, don't you?
A little bit.
Yeah, why not?
We can. How could you not?
If
you have an opportunity...
How could you not?
You want Veronica hosting your stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks, Ryan. It's great to see you. We are brought to you today, of course, by our... Whoa, I pulled my headphones off. By our friends at Sync. The great Sync is the hands-free calling, the entertainment, all by voice. I just love it. I'm a big Sync fan, as you know, because I got it in my Mustang, and I fell in love with it, and I use it all the time. But it's in all the new... or can be in all the new Ford, Lincoln, and Mercury vehicles. If you haven't tried Sync lately, they update it all the time. In fact, they made some big announcements here at CES about the new Sync, which is going to include Wi-Fi, it's going to include HD radio tagging, it's going to include the ability to do things like listen to Pandora, Stitcher, even Twitter, both read and send tweets without taking your eyes off the road or your hands off the wheel. That's pretty remarkable. I want you to go to SyncMyRide.com and find out more about the Ford Sync. Or just go to your Ford, Lincoln, and Mercury dealer and say, I want to test drive Sync. SYNCMYRIDE.com. SyncMyRide.com. Sync. I love it. And I think you will, too. And we thank them very much for bringing us here. What are you holding back for? Don't hold back. Get on in here. Robin Liss, my old friend Robin Liss, who started CamcorderInfo.com when she was 11 years old. How old were you, really? You were 13, 14?
12 or 13.
You were such a kid.
Yeah.
Oh, it's so great to see you.
It was so long ago,
you barely remember it. Now she's got an empire of websites.
Small collection.
Yeah, including, we're going to have to get the cameras set here because Richard Bagley is here. He's the cell phone guy. He's the everything guy now? All right, we need to bring Robin up a little bit. We need to get Richard in. I need a camera shot. If we can get Colleen away from Scott Wilkinson, I need a camera shot. I need a three shot, sweetie. Just if you would. It can be anywhere. So how are you, Robin? You having fun?
I'm wonderful. Traveling the globe.
So what you got? CamcorderInfo.com, DigitalCameraInfo.com.
TelevisionInfo.com.
This is new.
Doing wonderful, yeah.
That's great.
About a year and a half ago.
Oh, it's not that new. I haven't seen you in ages.
It's newer. CamcorderInfo, you know, that's past a decade. It's a new site. And then we've done a lot of international expansion, actually. We have CamcorderInfo in Japanese, CamcorderInfo.jp. And camcorderinfo.de in German.
Well, I still send everybody to a Camcorder Info and Digital Camera Info when I want them to get unbiased quality reviews of hardware. So you're really good at this. Now, Richard, the last time we talked, you were doing, was it cell phone info?
Yeah, wireless info was
wirelessinfo.com.
I think I was in the queue for the iPhone and the AT&T store in Boston.
That's exactly right. So what are you up to these days?
Well, my job is to wield the big science stick of what we do. So I set up all of the tests and work out how we test all these things.
That's
so.
Not a mean or small part of it, because the metrics are critical. That's the objective measurement of how something performs. And you know, you can have all the subjective reviews you want, but unless you've got that objective information, you really can't make the decision.
Well, and Leo, as you've known since the beginning, our organization's focus has been in-depth scientific testing.
Right, very ethical that
and,
way,
right,
because nobody can contest it.
Yep. Complete separation between advertising and editorial, and a real focus on using high-quality, unbiased research and analysis to find which are the best products. And Richard's job is developing those tests. And the big thing here is obviously 3D television. And so the thing Richard and I are talking all
How do you test that?
Day, yeah.
Well, that's what we're trying to work out right now. I mean, the products are so new, we haven't really set out how we're doing to test that. But, you know, we have a lot of tools that we use for testing televisions. We test color accuracy, gamma curves,
all
sorts of things.
I want to know, and I don't know how you're going to ever measure this, but it's my contention that one of the problems with 3D television is it reduces the clarity of the picture, and I would rather have a crystal clear, crisp 2D image than a fuzzy 3D image.
Well, that remains to
but
be seen to a degree.
That's pretty subjective, isn't it?
Yeah, but I mean, the thing is, with the new standards that they've set now with the 3D Blu-ray, they say that what you're getting into each eye is the same as you would get with a 2D TV.
Right.
You're getting a 1080p signal, you're getting the full resolution, and you're getting 60 frames a second into each eye.
All right.
I mean, we're going to have to wait and see, but you know, there's all sorts of other stuff that goes on in your brain.
You're
going to
have two different meters, one for each eye? I mean, how are you going to do this?
Yeah,
it's going to be tricky.
It's going to be tough, but you know, we've got some...
So you design these yourself, or do you work with a third party to come up with these?
We design a lot of them ourselves, but we also work with industry experts like Ray Sinierra from DisplayMate, who did a lot of work with us on televisions.
Yeah.
So, you know, and we buy the equipment we need to buy to get this stuff tested.
Yeah, it's very expensive.
Labs are right near Cambridge, Massachusetts, so we have the whole MIT research community around us, and you know, it's been really beneficial helping us to develop just cutting edge science.
That's really great.
We believe science is the best way to pick
Dr. Kiki would agree with you. Science, she would say. That's fantastic. So tell us some of the things that you're excited about today at CES.
I mean, we've been walking around looking at these 3D TVs, and I think one of the things I'm going to take away from this show is a bit of a headache from looking at them.
I agree.
Yeah.
In fact, it's really interesting because I came here open-minded. I at first didn't like 3D. I went to see Avatar. I was impressed, and I was really hoping, I was really open-minded about this, and I know that all these companies are really committed to 3D, and I figure there must be a reason. So I put on the glasses at all the booths, and I looked at all the stuff, and I just am not blown away by this.
Well, I think the reason that they're committed about it is because, you know, you bought a new HD TV in 2009, 2010, so they got to sell you something else.
Yeah, so we're all in agreement. That's the whole point.
Yeah.
Well, that's not a very good reason to change a technology so dramatically or to challenge people to sit and wear glasses and get a headache.
Yeah, I mean, the experience of the ones I've seen so far, it's getting better, but it's still not there. It still doesn't feel natural to me.
Right, yeah.
It still doesn't feel like watching TV, and I hate wearing the glasses.
You know what I love, and I love seeing it, is the 4K, the double resolution. That's the next step after HDTV. Well, I guess it's the next step after 3D TV now.
Yeah. I think that's going to take a few years to get on the new.
It's one of the things that disappoints me, actually. I would like to see them focus on 4K instead of 3D, because I think 4K is more realistic than 3D could ever be.
Oh, absolutely. More resolution never hurts. So,
but my friend Scott Wilkinson, our home theater guy, says it's no point unless you get a giant screen. There is a, 150-inch 4K screen over in the Panasonic booth.
Oh, the 156-inch plasma. Yeah, that looks great.
Mind-bogglingly good. Robin, you're rich now. You can afford that. Put that in your Boston apartment.
We got to launch more websites. TV or another website?
Yeah, right. Exactly.
Sadly, the website seems to win out.
No, that should win out. That's
I just hope that thing never falls over, because if it does, it's going to take the entire convention with it.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
How about you, Robin? Anything you've seen that you're kind of excited about?
You know, I'm spending a lot of time
You're in the suites probably making business
deals.
Yeah,
you know, I mean, to be honest, the reason you don't see me on TV or radio anymore is because
you're a businesswoman.
Because we have that strict separation.
Good for you.
We have rules, and I'm not even allowed to talk about what I think's interesting, because it would be, you know, of questionable ethics, because I'm involved on the business
side
of the company.
Side.
So I can't really go out there and talk about products, because it wouldn't be it wouldn't be ethical or fair.
Good for you.
Because I'm involved in making the business deal. So this that's why Richard here.
He's your spokesmodel, right?
And we have complete separation between advertising and editorial. Richard doesn't even get to talk to the salespeople. Right. They're in New York, and he's in.
That's the way it should be. And Robin, I've always been so impressed by that. And it's one of the reasons I constantly send people to your sites.
Thanks.
Right on the front page, there's always a button that says ethics. It's very clear. And so many people in this business do not have that ethical separation. They do not understand it. And more, it seems to be we're moving into the world of advertorial and paid for play and stuff. And it just pay for post. It just drives me crazy. So it's really nice to see somebody holding the line. And I hope you get recognized for that. And I hope you get traffic because of it, because people really do get objective, reliable ratings and reviews, and it's really important on all your sites.
We take people are entrusting us with their own money, and they're entrusting the recommendations that our publications make with their hard-earned dollars.
Right.
And if you're going to go buy a $4,000 or $5,000 television, that could be a significant portion of your year's income.
Kidding. No kidding.
We take that responsibility very seriously, and you know we're not going to sell our souls and sell those people's money.
Right. Can you feel the 20 hertz tones coming through these earthquakes behind us?
It's
pretty funny. You know, I don't know how much of this they can hear at home, but they can see the cameras vibrate at 20 hertz, so they know that it's happening. It's great to see you, Robin. Congratulations on your success. I saw Robin for the first time about almost 7 or 8 years ago at CES. Mm-hmm. She came up. She was like 20 years old, very confident. She was still a student at BU and came up and said, let me talk to you. I think I was still at Tech TV when you did that.
Oh, yeah. No. Yeah. I was probably about 14 or 15.
You might have been. You were really little. And now such a superstar and doing so well. And Richard, it's great to see you again.
You too.
Thank you. Congratulations on your success.
Thank you.
DigitalCameraInfo.com, WirelessInfo.com, CamcorderInfo.com, and the new one,
TelevisionInfo.com.
Just remember info. Nice to see you guys.
Thanks, Leo.
Take care.
Thanks.
All right, we're going to take a little break, or I'm going to stay here, but we're going to get some more people in here in just a second. But right now I'm going to tell you about our friends at Citrix who brought us here, and the folks do GoToMeeting. Of course, if we were here, we wouldn't have to be there, or maybe it's if we were there, we wouldn't have to be here. The whole idea of GoToMeeting is you'll do more, and you'll travel less, you close more deals, you get more done, you collaborate with GoToMeeting. I want you to try it for free right now. Go to gotomeeting.com/twit. gotomeeting.com/twit. You'll get a 30-day free trial. Absolutely no cost or obligation to you. As many meetings as you want, as long as you want. And I want you to try it because until you see what GoToMeeting does, it's kind of hard to even fathom how valuable that's going to be to your business. If you're in sales, if you're in training, if you collaborate with people who aren't in the same location as you are, GoToMeeting is an invaluable tool. We use it. So it's how we, in fact, get our meetings done. We even use it on our shows. Ray Maxwell uses it to show his screen or his desktop. I think it's a fantastic product. So please give it a try. It's we're grateful to them for their support. I just met with GoToMeeting yesterday with Tim Vu from their ad sales division for all the Citrix products, and they're very happy and love being a part of the Twit Network, the Twit family, and I think that's because of you. We really appreciate your support of all of our sponsors, and I understand we're going to see more of Citrix in 2010, so we're very glad about that. You can come on in, Mark. Mark Gillian is here. He is with the LA Times. He is, I didn't even realize I was on a two-shot, so there we go. We'll switch over to Mark, and I'll get rid of the GoToMeeting thing here. We are live.
How's your voice
holding up, Leo? It's not great, but it's not getting any worse. So it's kind of, I think I've hit a stasis. You know, I've hit the medium part because it's so dry here. Look, there's I Justine pretending she's a celebrity pretending she's a normal person, huh? Oh, hi, Mom. That's great. Oh, it's so great. Mark is with the LA Times. He covers tech. In fact, thank you for quoting This Week in Tech. Last week in your LA Times piece.
Of course.
You were talking about Kevin Rose.
The dig story.
Yeah. Well, I guess in a way, I didn't realize it, but Kevin gave us a scoop.
That was a scoop.
You picked up on it.
Yeah, I heard it. I was like, what? No, how is this not written about? I didn't hear the show until Wednesday.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, we appreciate it. It was great to... So are you having fun here? What are you covering for the Times at the CES?
I was supposed to do a print story on eco-green technology.
It's a big story here. I was kind of surprised at... How many of the booths have an eco section? How many companies are doing eco?
That's the thing, yeah. Like, it seems like every big booth has this, like, sectioned off, we're eco-friendly, too. Check it out. We, like, I think Samsung or Panasonic, I think it's Samsung, has this, like, showing how they take the plastic from water bottles and turn it into cell phones and TVs.
It's kind of crazy.
And there's somebody told me there's one company, I don't know which one it is, that says we are zero carbon footprint today because, of course, they bought carbon credits.
Panasonic, yeah.
You know, come on, guys. That doesn't mean you're not polluting. It means you just put a bunch of money into something. You know,
right,
I don't know if that's really doing anything.
And even some of the green analysts I talked to said, I don't even know if they can do this because they would likely be spanning out over a 24-month period.
Right.
So...
Are they going to be back next year? Well, they're going to have to buy twice as many, and it's still not going to count.
Hey, well, next year, maybe they won't be carbon neutral. Then
I think not. Yeah. I think not. It is an interesting story. And you know, it's one of those cases where it's a catchphrase, and everybody wants to do it now. I mean, there's some cases where it makes a difference. Plasma TVs have gotten much more efficient than they were. And yes. Panasonic had a display where they showed that, you know, a 220-watt plasma TV versus a 70-watt. That makes a big difference.
TVs are one of the biggest killers. Yeah. I mean, they suck up so much energy. Right. They're the ones that really need to, like, get down and, right. and, like, figure out how to save energy. And there's been a lot of companies here that try and help them with that. And then the ones that are just jumping on the bandwagon are, like, little small gadgets that don't use up that much energy anyway.
Right.
But they're saying, oh,
we're low power. We're eco-friendly. Yeah, right. You could plant us. I do know that there are better solar cells here, I understand. That they've improved the efficiency of solar cells. I'm not sure which company did
yeah,
that.
Yeah, yeah. There's actually a lot of that here. We're doing a little more of the consumer side, so I haven't looked
you
too
haven't
closely
covered that.
Into
yeah,
it.
Yeah. yeah. What else? Tell me what else you've seen.
I'm loving internet TV. Not
yeah,
necess-
thank goodness. Well, that first of all, as an internet broadcaster,
yeah,
thank goodness.
True.
But I just think it's how people don't care where they get their content from. They just want to get it. And there's so much good content on the internet. A TV should be internet ready.
Yeah. The actual internet TV hardware, like the TVs that LG and Samsung are showing, they're not going to be in the homes for a long time.
You like Boxy
really
Box,
expensive.
Don't you?
I love Boxy. I have it on a Mac
it.
Mini
How did
at
I
home.
Knew it? Yeah, I've loved Boxy for a long time, but now a Boxy appliance, D-Link's making a Boxy Box. It's very cool looking. It's got a cut-off
yeah,
edge.
Yeah.
It sits kind of whopper-jawed on the table, and it has Boxy built in.
Yeah.
And we're on it, by the way, which is great.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. Yeah,
yeah. So, I have the Twit app on my Boxy at home.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah,
Twit so, Live. Love
so
it.
So it's pretty cool that that more and more people are easily able to get this kind of stuff on their television. It's cool for us. I mean, I don't know. To be honest, I don't think it's going to help us all that much because we're such a niche, narrow focus that
right.
our fans can find us. It's not a problem. They know how to use the internet.
Yeah, yeah.
It's going to be great for you know whoever's doing home and garden over IPTV. They're going
right,
to do
right.
better, right?
There's actually been some really like small companies. A lot of them couldn't afford booths. Like when I saw you at the Renaissance earlier,
yeah.
I was getting
you were
a demo
with Sonos, right?
I met yeah had breakfast with Sonos
yeah.
and they were telling me what they're up to
I
trying
love
to
their
save
stuff.
Money.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. I met with Active Video after that.
What's
who,
that?
They didn't buy a booth. They just bought a suite. They're like, come
right.
to our living room. We'll
right.
show you.
Right.
And it's internet TV without. Needing an additional box. So doing everything in the cloud, they're able to feed the video into existing cable boxes, any cable box.
You're kidding.
They partner with certain cable companies, Time Warner,
so
Cablevision.
So, yeah, obviously your cable company would have to support this for it to
right.
work. And then does it become just an extra channel on your cable TV, or how does it work?
Yeah, it's kind of like video on demand. You pull up their active video service, and you got YouTube and
That's
widgets.
Great.
Yeah, it's,
and, you know, you might say, well, why would Comcast do that? Doesn't that undermine their business? Maybe, but on the other hand,
it out in New York.
Yeah,
it's
they
got to
do it
market.
Because that's
yeah.
what people demand. They want this. And if you're going to be a cable company, you better make sure all the channels are represented, including these internet channels.
Yeah. Active was telling me that throughout all these negotiations, they're like, well, this is going to eat up a lot of bandwidth. We don't want to do
they
this.
They hate that.
Yeah.
They hate it, but they don't have any choice. That's the problem. And
once,
I think Active's going to
yeah.
win.
Once yeah. they got into video on demand, they were like, well, we might as
Too
well
late.
Just go to the internet.
Too late. Mark, is this your first CES?
This is my first CES.
I thought it might be.
I'm running on fumes right now.
I bet you are. It's hard, isn't
it's
it?
It's exhausting. I don't know how you're on the air for 10 hours a day.
There, you know, until you do this, there's no really way of understanding it. And for people at home, they're looking and they're saying, oh, this looks like fun. I'd love to do it. And it's unaccountable. There's no way I can explain why it's so exhausting. You're just walking around and talking to people. Maybe it's Vegas. Maybe it's their over... I think probably some of it is sensory overload. There's so much.
Yeah.
And there's so much input coming in that eventually your brain just can't handle anymore.
And there are some late night extracurricular activities.
Not for me. I went to bed at 10 o'clock last night. I can't. I learned my lesson. I used to do that. Have you gone to some good parties?
I don't
I've gotten some pretty good parties.
There's more tonight. Tonight and tomorrow night are the big party nights.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm going to that that Android party. You going to that?
That
one?
Looks like fun. We may go to that. Is that tonight or tomorrow night? I think that's Friday.
Tonight.
It's tonight?
Yeah.
All right. We might. We haven't decided. I have a feeling we're going to miss it because I think there's another party that we want to go to. And, you know, to be honest with you, I'm an old man. I don't think I can go to the parties anymore. I'm going to go to I'm going to be partying in my hotel room. I'm going to put my feet up, and I'm going to watch Designing Women all night. It's going to be great.
That's the way to do it. Yeah, you got to take a look.
You learn. Your first CES, I was like you. First CES, I remember it. I killed myself. No, it's a lot of fun. And it is kind of exciting and overwhelming.
So what number CES is this for you?
You know, it's funny, Mark, because I stopped going to CES 6 years ago. In 2004, I did CES, and at that point, it was probably, if you include Comdex, my 10th or 15th CES Comdex combination. I had it, and I didn't want to do any more. And Macworld kind of overlapped, and so I said, well, we'll just cover Macworld Expo, and I'm not going to go to CES anymore. And I had that kind of uppity point of view that people like John C. Dvorak have. I'm going to sit in my armchair. I don't need to go down there and cover it. I have to say I'm really glad I'm here, because one of the things that makes CES great, and you'll realize this, you know, a few years from now, is that you're seeing people that you only see once a year. And it's great to get together with all your old friends, all the people that you work with. And so that's a lot of what makes CES or any of these shows interesting. It's not so much the show floor. You can find this stuff on the internet. I just read the LA Times. I'll just find out. I'll find out what's going on. I don't need to be here.
Right.
But what you don't get is just the chance to see people, you know, like Justine, who I only see every few months. And I've run into people that I haven't seen since the last time I was in Vegas for CES. So it's kind
of
like
that. I've met a ton of great people here, too. People Isn't that I only know through their Twitter avatars.
Well, there you go. There you go. Exactly.
Yeah. It's insane.
Did you see the car that tweets? Ford's got the car that tweets.
No, I missed that.
Yeah. It's pretty amazing. That's the next step for Ford Sync.
Is that part of Sync?
They're going to build in the Sync. The new Sync, which they're going to call Ford Touch. My Touch, and I can't remember the names. They're rebranding a little bit. Pandora.
Yeah.
Very interesting, because if I'm a music radio station and my car comes built in Pandora, I'm scared, right? Wouldn't you rather listen to Pandora than anything else you could find on the radio?
Sure, yeah.
Stitcher, so you get all your NPR and all your spoken word content. And you can tweet. I mean, pretty soon we won't be able to get out of our car. We'll have to do everything in the
Ford's
car.
Ford's doing some crazy stuff, as you know.
As I know. I know. They're a sponsor, so I should disclaim that, but it's pretty cool. Mark, great to see you. Don't get too burnt out, but have a good time. I think it's fun. Yeah, it's great to see you. Thanks for coming by.
Too.
Mark Millian from the LA Times. Well, I want to mention our friends at Audible.com. They're the folks who bring us here. We couldn't do this without the sponsors. It's been a very expensive enterprise. Not $1 million. That's what it cost Tech TV, but a lot for me. And thanks to folks like Audible, we can do this. Audible.com/twits, the place to go for your free audiobook. I know, Scott, you listen to audiobooks. I listen to audiobooks.
Oh, yeah.
If you've got a commute, if you spend time in the plane, even when I'm on the treadmill at the gym, I love to listen to audiobooks. It's a way to keep up with my reading, keep up with my business, but also other stuff that I'm interested in. History, fiction, science fiction. I read a lot of science fiction on
Me
Audible.
Me too.
Yeah, I'm just finishing Jerry Pournelle's Moat in God's Eye, which is a classic.
Oh, that's a classic. Wonderful book.
Highly recommended. If you go to audible.com/twit right now, you're going to browse around. You're going to find a million books you could read, but pick one that you really like, and we'll give it to you for free. Audible.com/twit. Sign up for the gold account, and that first book is free. Yours to keep, even if you cancel at any time. I love Audible. I know you will, too. Audible.com/twit. Thank them so much for their support of our show all the time, of all of our shows, but also of this special coverage from CES 2010. Scott Wilkinson is here, the home theater geek, and he is. We were trying to come up with a name for your show, and it just was obvious.
Yep.
Home theater geeks. So Sharp, which makes the great Aquos LCD TVs, and I love the Aquos.
Yep.
As you know, everybody's got to have something new, something different, something to distinguish them.
Yep.
They say they're going to do RGB, red, green, blue. We're used to that. Mm-hmm. Yellow.
Yep. They've added a fourth. They've added a fourth, what they call primary color now. Yellow.
Is it really a color?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. It's really a color. It's not a primary color. It's what we call a secondary color.
Yeah, we've been able to do yellow in the past with RGB.
Yeah, you just basically yellow is adding red and green together.
Right.
But they've decided that they want to put yellow subpixels. Okay, so each pixel of information on the screen typically consists of three what are called subpixels, a red one, a green one, and a blue one. Mm-hmm. They've added a fourth one, which is yellow. They call it quad pixel, of course.
Okay.
And they say they made a big deal of it at their press conference.
They're saying it's the color gamut. So they go from billions to trillions of colors.
That's right. And they expand the color gamut, which is the range of colors that
now,
you can display.
As a
beyond
geek, I understand that. Because, yeah, you know, when you buy a monitor, if you're a photographer, different monitors have better gamuts. Mm-hmm. And the expensive monitors can display a wider range of colors, which means, right, more accurate reproduction. Is it the same gamut? When they talk about it, is that what they're talking about?
Well, they're talking about exactly that, the range of colors that they can reproduce. The problem is this. The gamut, the range of colors that that are used in the production of television shows and movies and so on, is a very well-established standard.
Yes, everything's RGB.
Well, it's RGB, but it's particular colors of RGB.
Oh, the number of RGB. Because now this is, okay, so question one is, can't you do the full color gamut with RGB?
Yes,
obviously.
Of course you can.
So the problem
with this quad color technology is that it actually expands the gamut beyond the HDTV standard, and I have a problem with that.
Who's going to support it?
Just like your computer monitor where you want it to be an accurate reflection of the picture you took or the video you took or whatever.
Right.
Similarly, the TV, you want it to reproduce the colors that were used in the production of that program accurately. And if you expand the color gamut of the TV that's displaying it, then the green, then if something comes in and it says, I'm green, its green is different than what they saw when they produced that image. So I do not agree with Sharp's or anybody's idea of expanding the color gamut. And a lot of TV manufacturers say, oh, we have an expanded color gamut. No.
So what you're saying, there's a standard color space defined by whoever the
SMPTE
video...
SMPTE. Yeah.
That's the color space every TV has to reproduce.
In my opinion.
And if you're going to be accurate, you don't need more.
You don't want more.
You don't want more. You need that yellow is yellow. That blue is blue.
That's right. That's exactly
right. It's defined.
Right. That's right. It's well defined. And Sharp has decided to go beyond that.
It seems odd to me.
I don't agree with it.
Did you look at the displays?
They had a demo of the new display, and interestingly, right next to their last year's model, mm-hmm, which didn't have these yellow colors. And they were showing brass instruments, which, of course, I know
very well.
They showed
yellow instruments.
And the instruments looked very...
They looked more yellow.
They looked more yellowy. They didn't look like brass.
They didn't look more natural.
Yeah, they didn't look natural to me. So I was not happy with that.
It looked like a yellow TV. I thought, this is very odd. I don't really understand it.
Yeah.
Did you ask them? Did you put them on the spot? Say, why are you doing this?
No. These press conferences have hundreds of people. It's difficult.
You can't really do that.
It's difficult. Yeah. I'm going to talk to them about it when I go visit them, of course. But it's... And unfortunately, whereas every other press conference was talking about 3D, they weren't.
They have 3D displays.
They have a 3D prototype in their booth, but they weren't making a big deal of it as everybody else was.
So maybe that
they're
while
a little
these,
behind the curve.
Well, or that while all these other companies are doubling down on 3D, they're deciding to wait and see.
Yeah, it could be.
Yeah, I don't know what I would do at this point. I think there's got to be a huge Me Too, because if you're showing in the store, And the checkbox is 3D, and you don't have it, you're just not going to get the buy. You're not going to get the purchase, whether or not. Because a 3D TV can be a 2D TV, right?
Absolutely. It can show 2D just fine. No problem.
I think there are going to be a lot of glasses gathering dust in about 3 years. Right now, I want to welcome a good friend, an old friend, a woman who was discovered by Alex Lindsay at a pod camp in Pittsburgh some years ago, and it has now become an internet legend. Ladies and gentlemen, Justine Azarek. Justine is here. Is this your first CES, Justine?
This is my third CES.
Oh, you're an old timer.
I am.
This is no big deal for you, huh?
It is crazy.
So are you having fun?
I'm having so much fun. I'm a little bit overwhelmed. I walked around for 5 hours yesterday, and I feel like I saw nothing.
Yeah, because there's so much to see.
There's so much stuff.
I think that's what's exhausting about CES, is just the overload.
Yeah.
Also, Karen Nguyen is here. I'm sorry, Karen, I didn't give you credit. How are you?
I'm doing great. My feet are hurting.
Yeah. We gotta say, my dogs are barking. That's what we say.
Seriously.
Yeah. My dogs are barking.
My dogs is barking.
I was smart. I wore some comfy Uggs.
Look at, she's
here.
Wearing Uggs.
Yeah, it's pretty much like I'm wearing slippers, so.
Really? Is that comfortable for walking around a lot?
It's so comfortable. It's amazing. Wow. I suggest them.
Yeah, a little fashion advice.
They make Uggs for men, too?
They do.
Wear Uggs to CES.
What do Uggs look like for men? I can't imagine.
The same,
exactly,
but bigger.
Yeah, they look
really?
Exactly.
So you just wear boots?
Yeah.
That's it.
All right.
She's ready for the snow, too.
She is. She's ready. So what are you doing? Anything? Are you covering it? Are you?
We, yeah.
I saw you have your camera, and I said, hi, Mom.
I know, yes. My mom, mother. She said, she's like, I'm watching Leo all day. She kept texting me saying she's watching, and she's watching right now. So hi, Mom.
Say hi to Mom, yeah.
Hi, Justine's mom. Yeah, so we're just walking around trying to find some cool stuff, and there is so much.
Are you doing it for anybody? I mean, you're doing it for Yahoo, or you're doing, I mean, or just for yourself?
Well, I work with Intel, too. We do an Intel Insider program, so we just kind of help them with, like, social media stuff. So I'm here with them.
Was it your idea to have the women doing yoga out front to demonstrate how strong their core processors were?
Oh, that was not my idea.
Good.
So
I'm glad to hear
that. Not my idea. But no, I'm just roaming around.
That was pretty funny,
actually,
I thought. Yeah, I mean, crazy, but funny. So you're doing videos for Intel?
Oh, no, I'm just making for my YouTube channel. So, yeah, we're just kind of trying to find cool stuff.
And I was kind of surprised you were actually using what looked like a video camera.
Yes.
Why do you use a video camera? I thought you were like kind of, I don't need a video camera.
I know. You know what? I upgraded only because I've been looking for something that has like an audio input. So.
Oh, yeah. The audio input.
Yes, just trying to do audio input.
Makes such a big difference here with all the noise.
It does. Isn't it? Yeah, it's so noisy here. So what are you shooting with? An SD5, it looked like? Something like that? JVC? What are you shooting with?
You know what? I had a JVC. It was a long time ago, and it was did not work
terrible.
Out so well.
Terrible.
Did not work out so well, yeah.
So, Karen, are you like doing camera operator for Justine, and then she turns it around on you, or how does that work?
No, we're doing the whole...
You hold it out there?
We always hold it old school.
Old school, just flipping it around.
Yep. Oh, that's so funny.
That's so great.
Where can we see these?
I'm going to be posting them on my YouTube channel and on iJustine.com, so everything will be there.
So it's youtube.com/iJustine.
Yes, and I also started a new reviews channel, so it's iJustine Reviews.
Oh, what do you review?
I actually haven't even posted a video
iPhone
yet.
Apps.
It's going to be a lot of iPhone apps and a bunch of stuff at CES.
Half the iPhone apps I bought is because you told me to. I'm stuck in Sally's
Beast. Oh, Sally's Spot. You should try Ranch Rush.
Ranch Rush?
Ranch
What's
Rush.
That about?
It's farming.
See, so I don't have to do Farmville. I could just do it on my iPhone because Farmville really sucked all the time out of my life.
No, it really did. And it always overheats my computer, which I'm really upset
about. Yeah,
because
it's Flash. So instead, I'll play Ranch Rush.
Ranch Rush.
Is it like Farmville only on the phone?
It's like Sally Spa, but for ranches.
Oh, yeah. So you have to rush around and shear the sheep.
Yeah,
and
you do.
And hoof the cows.
Make the ketchup.
Make the ketchup?
Yep, that's my favorite part.
You have to make your own ketchup?
Grow those tomatoes.
Is that the deal on a ranch, is you make your own ketchup?
You harvest the tomatoes, and then you put them in like the little...
That's hysterical.
Little tomato maker.
That's pretty funny. I had no idea. I had no idea that ranchers made their own ketchup.
Oh, they do.
They do.
I mean, with the rate that I go through ketchup, you too.
Yes, seriously.
Well, it is a vegetable.
So fun.
I would imagine that you guys could probably get $5,000 to $10,000 a head to go to somebody's party. Have you tried that ever? Like,
no.
Just say charge people
like Paris Hilton.
Like Paris Hilton.
Jeez. I need a little dog to do something like
exactly.
that.
Exactly. Lady Gaga was here at the I can't remember which booth, the Monster booth.
Yeah.
So I mean, I imagine she got a few thousand dollars
sure
to do that.
Got a few dollars or a few cables. I mean, cables. Whatever.
All the cables she could use. She could get like $1,090 HDMI cables.
Yeah.
It would be great. Yeah, a great deal.
She'd be like, what are we going to do with this?
Just throw them out at her concerts. They're like, well, dance and then catch your cables.
No, but I think it's pretty cool that Lady Gaga's here.
That's
pretty
cool.
I really
want to see her. Big fan.
John Legend is performing for Monster, I think, Friday night. Are you going to go see that?
Tonight,
or is it tonight?
That is tonight.
Are you going to see that?
It is Friday. Yes.
Today's Friday?
It is Friday.
It's going fast.
What the hell day is today? Today's Friday?
It is Friday, yes.
Oh, my God.
It's crazy.
How many more days you got left here?
Oh, my God. It's crazy. I'm going to be here Saturday and Sunday. I'm doing the radio show tomorrow and Sunday.
But it's such an amazing conference. I mean, there's seriously so many things that it is overwhelming.
It's overwhelming.
This is not your first either, I gather, Karen.
Actually, this is my first.
Is it?
Yeah.
Oh, that's good.
I was a little hesitant to go because I've never been before, and I was afraid that I was just going to be overwhelmed by all the products.
It is overwhelming. Justine, compare this to last year, because last year was kind of dead, wasn't it, compared to this?
I think there's a lot more people here this year.
Yeah.
But last year, it was pretty rough. So
I thought this... you know why I was here? I was going to be here for the wake. I was going to say, it's over for trade shows. This is the last CES.
Yeah.
Boy, was I wrong.
I know. So, no, it's exciting, though.
It's on the upswing or whatever. It's waxing, not waning.
Absolutely. Which is definitely very good.
Yeah, it's pretty fun.
I remember last year there was a rumor Apple was going to be here. I don't know where that came from.
Yeah, when Apple canceled Macworld, I think I started that rumor.
Oh,
I thought, oh.
Well, along with that Beatles iPod.
Yeah, that was Merlin, but it was on our show. I thought, that's what they're doing. They're pulling out of Macworld and going to CES, but no, they're not here. And And really, the truth is, I think they just want to manage their own. They don't need anybody's help to do their own events.
January 27.
In fact, that's going to be a bigger event than anything going on here. In fact, do you notice how everybody's doing slates? Like they they know it's going to be the slate, and so they just start doing a slate.
I've seen so many. I forget who I saw one the other day, and it was, I can't remember. I think Lenovo makes it.
Lenovo, the
two-screen one.
It's a laptop. You pull the screen off, and it becomes a slate.
I know. I thought that was kind of cool, except I was like, well, what if I want to get all my files? And he's like, oh, no, don't worry. There's something that'll transfer between the two.
Yeah.
So I thought that was kind of weird. It's like, I wish it would just kind of work together.
Well, the hard drive's in the bottom part, so I guess they can't. But it does follow, like, if you're browsing on the browser, and then you pull the top off, you'll still be on that page. So it kind of remembers what you're doing, even though it's changed operating systems. I mean, it's changed everything.
It's kind of cool.
Yeah.
It's just like, oh, on the go.
Yeah. And they call it a slate.
Yeah.
I have to wonder if they're making them, like, they're assuming that everybody knows it's called the slate. It's not going to be the slate, is it?
You think it'll be the ice slate? They're going to call it something completely different.
Ugly, don't you think?
This morning, so
what did Steve say?
You know, he
doesn't return. He still doesn't return your calls?
He's like, stop calling me. Stop calling me, Justin. The restraining order.
Are you excited about that? Are you going to come out for the announcement?
I will be there.
Are you really?
I will be there.
Oh, my God. You're so serious.
Obsessive is more like it. Yes.
Well, good. Maybe you can be our correspondent for the announcement. We actually aren't invited, nor will we be able to get in. But
I wasn't invited either, but I'm going
to
be there.
Well, you can stand next to Dane. Dane has a cardboard box he brings. And a little laptop camera, and we just—that's what we did last time. We just stand out there and say, and then people come out. And we go, what did they say? What did they say? It's kind of pathetic.
I will be that person.
Good.
Yes. I'll
will
be
you
there.
Do that with us?
That would be great.
It's great to see you. iJustine.com or Twit. I'm sorry. I wish. No, YouTube.com/iJustine, and now YouTube.com/iJustineReviews.
Ooh, look for that.
And Karen, where do we find you?
I'm on Karenism.com.
Karenism.com.
Yep.
Very nice to see you both.
Yes,
thanks for coming by.
Thank you.
You added a little luster to this ugly little show that we're doing here. Bye, Mom.
Let's do some reviews.
She's actually watching from the Apple Store right now.
Is she at the Apple Store? That's what you do.
Is. I know.
You go and borrow a cup of Wi-Fi from the Apple Store.
Bye.
See you later, Justine. See you, Karen. Nice to see them both. Nicole Lee is here, my good friend from CES. Nicole, I mean CNET at CES.
Hello.
Nicole, I can't believe I took a look at the CNET booth. Holy cow.
Yeah.
You guys go crazy.
Yeah, we take this pretty seriously. It's our Super Bowl.
I was really proud of we got a banner and we have lights and a camera. And then I go to do Buzz Out Loud yesterday with Tom and Molly.
This is pretty impressive. What are you talking
you got
about?
A
what
gym
are you
cam.
About?
You got your editors. You got 10 editors.
Please.
They're behind
this
glass.
Is great.
Well.
Should I use my headphones?
Yeah, only if you want to hear
I
me.
Don't know.
Can you hear me? If you can't hear me, you can put the headphones
on. I'll just wear them anyway.
So, Nicole, you do cell phones for CNET.
Yes, I do.
So this has got to be a fun show for you.
CES is not much of a phone show, actually. It's more of a consumer electronics show.
But a phone is consumer electronics. What are you talking about?
That's true, but think of it. The big phone that was released this week wasn't at CES. The Nexus One was not at CES. It was a digital experience,
right.
But that's not CES.
In fact, you can kind of make an argument that the big stories in January, neither of them came from CES.
No.
If Apple announces a slate at the end of the month and Google announced the Nexus One the day before, those are the big stories of January.
I think 3 to 4 years ago when the iPhone was first
announced. That's right. It was
CES. During CES. And we weren't there at the Apple event.
And
because
we were.
I'm just saying that, you know.
That's when I was proud that I didn't go to CES. That's when I said, you know, I made the right choice not going to CES. But here I am 6 years later.
Here you
back.
Are. You're back.
And it's fun. You know why it's fun? Because I get to see people like you. I worked with Nicole at Tech TV.
Thank you
were a lowly intern at the time. But then you rose up to production assistant.
Yeah, I was an intern, and I would have been promoted, but
the
company got sold.
Same, my story,
so,
too.
I
would have been promoted, but the company got sold. Thank goodness
that's
the company
my story,
got
I'm sticking
sold.
To it.
No, it's good for both of us, hasn't it?
Right.
You're now, you know, a full-fledged reporter, content producer, and I have my own little television network.
Yeah.
So there you go. Let me ask you about, by the way, somebody said you should only bring Heil mics. These are all Heil mics we're using. We thank Bob Heil for providing us with a PR-40. They're really good. I'm using the PR-40, and Nicole is using, I think, a PR-20. Is that? No, a 35.
Okay.
These are special mics designed for noisy environments.
Mm-hmm.
People are saying, I hear noise. Let me tell you something. if we weren't using these Heil mics, you'd hear...
No, believe me, like, the bass in this hall...
It's crazy.
It's, like, thumping, yeah. And it's...
And yeah, there's lots of insane. People making noise and talking.
Yeah.
Is this... Sure. You've been here every year for the last five or six years.
Yeah, a lot, yeah.
Is this a... Bigger or smaller than the
last year was really small. Yeah. Like there was no cab line. That like it was really easy
I heard
to go
that.
Anywhere.
I thought this was going to be the end of CES.
This year, it's not as big as like you know 2 or 3 years ago.
Right.
But it's definitely better than last year for sure.
Yeah. What are you excited about? Are you seeing anything at all that you're interested? I'll tell you something that somebody told me about. Uh-huh. Grace Soriano Smith, who used to work with us at Tech TV. I don't know if you worked. With Grace at all. She was the great product manager at Tech TV. All the stuff that came in, she took care of, made sure it got back to manufacturers. Yeah. And she's an expert at finding weird gadgets. She found a Bluetooth ring.
Oh, really?
It's called the Orb. You wear it on your ring finger.
Uh-huh.
It's got an OLED display going across it. And when a phone call comes in on your Bluetooth-connected phone... The name, it says Nicole is calling. Now, I have two choices. I can press a button on the ring and talk into the ring and dictate a text message. I'm sorry, Nicole, can't talk right now. Call you back. It'll send you a text message via the phone. Or I can take the ring off, flip it around, and it turns into a Bluetooth earpiece.
Wow. This ring sounds kind of big.
It's. I know, everybody thinks it's going to be huge, right? No, it's not. Well, it's a little
thick. Well, it's a little, okay.
Anyway, I want you to find that. They haven't got
it. Okay, I will.
They
haven't got
it. I thought it would be good for you. I'm giving it to you for free.
Thank you.
They don't have a distributor in the U.S., and so they're trying to find a distributor. You know where it is?
No, where?
The Cheesy Hall.
The Cheesy Hall?
The Hall of Crap. You know that hall.
The Hall of Crap, okay.
Yeah, yeah. It's where all the kind of stuff that's looking for a home goes, you know. This is fun to wander around, but it's just so... big. I mean,
it's so big.
This
it's
room alone
true.
Is like two football fields, and this is one of 7 or 8 feet rooms.
Yeah. I feel a little bit sorry for people who only have like one person here. Like one person from the whole publication.
Impossible.
It's like one. It's impossible.
That one person is Dr. Kiki.
And, is she around? Is she streaming?
She was streaming. I think she's probably collapsed in a puddle because
okay.
we've sent her out and about, and she's had to do a lot of interviews out in the show floor with our mobile rig.
I mean, there are some new phones. Like, you know, there are some new messaging phones from LG, and I think Motorola is releasing like a new smartphone, like a backflip, I think it's called.
Is the feature phone dead? Are we going to see
the
only
feature phone is like not. Far from dead. Far, far from dead.
You think most people want a feature phone?
I think the feature phone, like, I think some people are still a little bit nervous about the whole idea of a smartphone.
It's too complicated.
It's too complicated.
Yeah.
It's too, I don't want all of this BlackBerry stuff. Like, they want like a really rich media device,
right.
But they also want a phone and a media device in one thing. So that's sort of the perfect middle ground, I would say. For a lot of people, you know, the LG Envy Touch was like the most popular phone for like.
Really?
I don't know. It's weird. Like the LG Chocolate.
Is that a feature
something. Phone?
Because it's almost a smartphone.
Yeah, it's almost a smartphone, but it's like it's one of the most popular phones from Verizon. It's
people are
weird.
Comfortable with
yeah,
it. Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Nicole, it's great to see you. I'm so jealous. They've got the jib. They've got the editors. They've got the big rig.
Man. For your first year at CES, it's awesome.
Let's think of it that way.
I have to say.
It's just our first year at CES.
It's great.
We're just a baby. We're just taking our first steps.
I think it's really good.
Thank you, Nicole.
No
it's
problem.
Great to see you. Nicole Lee from CNET. I'm sorry, CBS Interactive.
Oh, CNET's part of CBS.
A.K.A. CNET. Yeah. Thanks, Nicole.
Good to see you. Good to see you.
Yeah. Happy CES. You're watching Twit Live at CES 2010 from Las Vegas, Nevada. Leo Laporte on the show floor, and it's time to talk spot. What's your name, sir?
Charlie Corey.
Hi, Charlie. Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you, Leo.
I like your nice white spot shirt.
Thank you.
What is spot?
Spot is a simple product that everybody needs who has a Bluetooth earpiece.
I do.
Okay. Basically, there's nowhere to put the darn things, Leo. So this is a universal...
I love it. It's a clip.
Bluetooth holder. It's a clip.
You put it right on your shirt.
And you try it out. You can see how easily it pops
now
in
Now, I have
there.
A Plantronics Pro. Will it fit with my Plantronics Pro? Does it work with
it
any...
It will. Any earbud. It's universal.
Because it's an earbud, of course.
Yeah, anything that has an earbud, it works.
Look at that. That works pretty well. It's right clipped on my shirt. And it goes very nicely, I think, with my anime... My manga shirt.
I think it looks sexy.
Very hot. You know, it's always my pet peeve that people wear their Bluetooth earpieces in their ear. It's because you got nowhere to put it.
That's right.
So finally you have somewhere to hang it. Yeah, How much does the spot cost?
It's $15.99 on our website right now. And
what's
then,
the website?
www.getaspot.com.
Get a spot.
That's it.
.com. And I see you're doing an earbuds one now.
Yeah,
is
and
that
then
new?
There's a yeah, there's a double this is spot,
actually
this is spot two.
I could really use this. Spot two allows you to wrap up your iPhone earbuds.
Yes.
And that is a great idea. I think
and they
that's
will
a
never tangle.
Idea.
They'll never tangle. The average
yeah,
person spends
mine tangle like crazy.
27
fact,
seconds.
You want to know where my earbuds are?
Yeah, and in your pocket
they're
and they're
going to
be
pocket.
Yep.
And look at them. That's yeah. that's right there. That you know, I could do an ad for this. That's the difference
that
right
is
there.
It. Thank you very much. I couldn't have said it
those
better myself.
Those are my earbuds. And if my phone rings 3 minutes later, I'll be able to answer it from my my earbuds.
Yeah.
That's great. Very cool. How much will that be?
This will be $16.99.
And available at?
GetAspot.com. GetAspot.com.
Now, do you have a booth here?
No, no. We're just working
you're
the
too
show.
Small to have a booth.
We're a mobile booth today.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I think that's a good idea. So how do you get in? Is there like a mobile booth fee that they have? Is there a special mobile booth tag that you get?
I can neither confirm nor deny how I got in the show.
I won't ask, but I'm glad you came in. Thanks for coming in. We appreciate
Thanks
it, Charlie.
Very much. Thank
good
you.
Luck with it. I'm going to get one of those. That looks really cool.
Thank
for
you
this.
Very
you
much.
See, I'm still untangling.
Yeah, see? It takes
take,
a while.
It's going to take me forever to get this thing untangled. It's crazy.
Thanks a million.
All right, Charlie. Nice
okay.
to meet you.
Nice
get
to
a
meet
spot.
You too.
www.getaspot.com. We're going to run through a bunch of different products right now because there are so many products on the show floor. So we thought we'd save this time kind of in the waning hours of our first live day, just bringing people up, you know. And so we've got a lot of people just going to come by and talk about their product. This is a virtual trade show, in effect. The whole idea of our coverage this week was to kind of bring you to CES as if you were attending it. The only thing I can't do is make your feet hurt, make your brain numb, make your eyes cross. So if you would do me a favor, just for a moment now, would you jump up and down? Maybe if you could find some gravel, some rocks, jump up and down on that. Take off your shoes, of course. You really want to get the full effect. And then poke yourself in the eye a couple of times. And then if you really want the real effect, put your headphones on, turn them up way loud, and run 4 or 5 different sounds into it at the same time. Now you've got the CES experience. Let's talk a little bit. Jay Dyer is here from Voice Keeper. Jay, I met you on the floor, and I thought, this looks like a really interesting product. You don't yet have U.S. distribution.
Correct.
So as often happens at CES, you get companies who come here looking for somebody to sell the product in the U.S.
Correct.
This is from overseas?
Yes, it's from Korea.
Okay.
And what we're doing is we're looking for U.S. distributors and dealers. So anyone interested in selling our product would have to get in touch with us, and we would
How would they get in touch
on.
With you?
They would get in touch with us by emailing to VoiceKeeper at 1, that's the number 1, IDS.com.
Okay.
Or sales at VoiceKeeper.com.
All right. So now we know how to get a hold of you. We better find out what it is we're getting a hold of you for.
Okay. What you're getting a hold of us for is a privacy tool for both telephones, cell phones, or VoIP phones, for that matter.
Now, I remember in Cold War movies, you know, our man Flint, things like that, they would have a little device that they would put on the phone handset, and then the Premier of Russia would put his device on, and they'd talk to each other, and it would scramble the voice before it went into the phone, go through the phone waves, nobody could hear or understand what was going on, and get de-scrambled on the other end.
That's exactly what this product does.
I thought it was made up. I thought it was sci-fi. There really is such a thing.
It really is such a thing. Only this time, you don't really have to put it on the phone, the headset. It plugs
it's a Bluetooth?
Into the phone.
Oh, I see. So I use my earbuds.
You have two different models.
Okay.
One model is for your regular wired phone.
Okay, so that's this. Yeah.
That's that. You plug this into your telephone, and you plug your handset right in here.
So it just is in between your handset and your phone.
It's in between your handset
now,
and your phone.
Are you using digital encryption? What kind of technology are you using to do
Actually,
this?
Actually, it's scrambling the analog signal.
Scrambling the audio.
Scrambling the audio. And it's scrambling it at such a high rate that it would basically take a supercomputer about 3 billion years to unscramble it.
Wow, that's cool.
So there's absolutely no way anyone, and every time
what
you
does
make,
it sound like on the other end?
No, on the other end you sound perfectly
no
normal.
I mean in between if I'm a spy and I'm trying to
in
listen
between in between you basically hear a
It just sounds all messed up.
Completely. Yeah. There's absolutely nothing that anyone hears. They
and
just hear junk.
Now, you obviously, on the other end, you need to have a duplicate device.
You have
device,
to have the other one.
And it's decoding that scramble.
That's correct.
And then what's the little one? Let's take a look at this.
This is what you would use on your cell phone.
So I just plug my earbud into that or my,
that's right.
my cell phone?
That's right. You plug this into that. Into the phone, plug your earbud into here.
That's great. And how much is this going to cost? Do you have any idea? I mean, you don't know because you don't have the distributor yet in the U.S., so they'll set the price. But
they'll set the price.
What's the price to them?
Well, basically, the end user at this point in time would be spending about $300 per unit.
So it's not cheap.
No, it's not cheap.
So it's industrial strength protection for somebody who has secrets to protect on the phone system. Yeah.
Basically, for companies that want to keep their R&D
right.
information private
right.
or companies that are dealing with secrets of any type that they
don't want
anyone.
Your timing is very
anyone.
Good because yeah. GSM was just cracked. You're starting to see that what we thought were secure conversations over the cell network are far from secure.
Oh, no.
So your timing's pretty good on this.
Oh, yeah. Well, and there's no other product on the market that will do what we do.
Jay Dyer, nice to meet you. VoiceKeeper, if you email sales@voicekeeper.com if you're interested in distributing this. But Jay's an example of the kind of products you see here at CES. There are a lot of people come by and say, you know, I've got a product, I've got something I want to sell, and people come to CES. This is really what CES is all about, mm-hmm. to find a dealer, to find somebody to distribute it. Mm-hmm. It's a meeting between the manufacturer, who may or may not have a channel, and the kinds of people who can sell it. Jay, good luck to you.
Thank you
all
very much.
All the best. Let me know how it goes, and if you start selling
definitely.
It.
Definitely. I'll email you.
That's
remember,
great.
That's voicekeeper@oneids.com.
I will remember.
Thank you,
Jay. Great
Take
to
care.
See you.
Bye-bye.
Jay Dyer from IDS. And it's, you know, one of the reasons I like to do this is because this is what a lot of CES is about. The coverage, the press coverage of CES is about Sharp's new TV with red, green, blue, and yellow, or 3D TV from Sony. That's the press coverage, which is really not what CES is all about. CES is thousands of people like Jay who are looking for somebody to distribute their product. They come from all over the world to this event. That's why they call it International CES. We've not really been using the name properly. It is international. Now we've got another product. Say again? You don't have it written down. Just hand it to me and I'll say it. Video. Oh, this is great. Video name tag. What's your name, sir?
My name's Rob Norden.
Rob, but I can see you've got beer on your name tag. That is the funniest thing I ever saw.
Here, let me
can
show
you see
the backside.
It?
This is even funnier.
Oh, he's got name tags all over his back. That is hysterical. So these are little badges, the kind of badges you'd have, you know, for a name badge.
Yeah,
but they're video. You're talking to this mic here. That'll be your mic.
Okay, thanks.
So
yeah,
I got it right here, and it's got a magnet on the back so I can put it on my lapel.
Exactly.
How long is the video on this?
You can go up to 2 gigabytes of storage.
Oh, and so it's got a USB port on
yep.
it.
Yep.
And I just press play, and it's pretty high quality. That's not an OLED screen, is it?
It is an OLED screen, yes.
Boy, that's a good-looking screen.
Isn't it beautiful? Yes.
Yeah, they're really gorgeous. So who's the market for this?
You know, we started out as a business-to-business market where it could be something for salespeople or anybody involved that want to get attention, and it's just been a dramatic where we're seeing people use it for. People are taking it to parties. People are taking it.
I think you'd be a hit of a party if you had this on there.
You know, anyone that wants to get attention, just walking through the show here, wearing it, I've got people coming up to me that I've, you know, running up to me to see it. So
the quality's really good. You can't see it at home, I'm sure, but the quality is really good. Now, here's the box. Here's how you buy it. How much?
MSRP is $198, and
$200.
That includes software. And if you buy it through distributors, you can get a discount. And then you've got software included.
Well,
it goes 8 to 10 hours.
I can see why it costs that much, because there's a lot.
The reason why it's an OLED screen, it's not an LCD.
Yeah, and that makes a huge difference.
Yeah, it's a commercial screen. We do commercial displays, and this is a very high-end, not a cheap one. So
do you have a booth here? How are you?
We were sharing a booth up in the South Hall. But,
so this is another example of a company that has a product, kind of a niche product.
Yeah, definitely.
And looking for dealers who will carry this for
Absolutely.
You.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Video Name Tag. Is there a website we can go to?
Yeah, videonametag.com.
Nice to meet you. Thanks,
Thanks
for coming
Leo.
By.
Thanks, Leo. Pleasure.
Really appreciate it. That
Thank
looks
you.
Cool. Doesn't that look good? I love that.
Thanks.
If you are just interested in listening or watching the podcast, you know, I know a lot of you are watching this live. In fact, we set a record for the most viewers we've ever had on our Twit feed. Over 19,000 people watching at the same time. Earlier today, and it could even be more for all I know. It's just a remark. In fact, I just saw in the chat room that they said the sites are down, which generally means that there are so many people on there, and we have a site that's pretty robust on a dedicated server, but that there are so many people on there that it's actually bringing the site down. So we may have gone well above 19,000 or 20,000 people watching. So that's pretty good news. So thank you everybody for participating. All right, let's continue on with our coverage. We're live at CES, the 2010 edition. Jason Heiner is here from Tech Republic, techrepublic.com.
Hey,
Jason,
Leo,
how are
good
you?
To see you.
I know you, but we haven't met, I don't think. Have we ever met?
I don't think we've met in person now that you say
awesome?
That.
But that's one of the things that I really love about CES is you get a chance to finally meet the people that you've known for years, you've talked to before, but we just, you know.
Totally.
You're in Tennessee.
Louisville, Kentucky.
I'm sorry, Kentucky, that's right. And I'm in, where am I? California.
Yeah.
No, I'm in Tennessee. And so we don't get a chance to see each other. And so it's really fun. In fact, it's been fun for me this whole week. I've been seeing old friends from Ziff Davis, lots of them. And it's really, really fun. By the way,
awesome.
We just crashed the last guest's website, so thank you. That was the site that went down. It wasn't our site. So, Jason, I take it here covering right now.
Yes.
CES. What do you see? What do you like? What do you think?
Yeah, so there's no home run this year, certainly. I don't think there's a grand slam out there.
When's the last time there was a home run at CES?
Well, I think we sort of compare it to the Palm Prix. The Palm Prix kind of knocked everybody's
that
socks off.
That was a big story
last year.
Yeah, and Palm's here this year, but not
they
with
are.
Such a big story.
Yeah, not as big. But, the things that it's more of a shotgun effect this year. There's a lot more happening, and there is a much different energy. You know, companies aren't worried about, staying alive. They're more worried about how
yeah,
are we
economy,
hit the next
the economy isn't the problem anymore. Yeah.
Yeah. So I like that. I tell you the sort of the stealth thing that I think is most interesting is the NVIDIA Tegra, the Intel Morristown, and the Qualcomm Snapdragon.
These are the small systems on a chip that are powering a lot of these consumer electronics devices.
Yeah, putting a gigahertz into your phone,
right.
Or it's going to power these tablets and make them small and cheap and, power sippers. You know,
right.
they're going to last really long with the battery life.
Well,
so
we've seen devices, for instance, the Snapdragon we saw in the Lenovo U1, which is the slate that detaches from a laptop. So you've got two processors, in effect, in this laptop. It's running Windows 7 on a Core 2 processor, and the screen detaches. That's running the Snapdragon running Linux. So there's a good example.
Yeah.
Tegra 2, what is it? What is running Tegra 2?
So Tegra 2, of course, the Zune HD ran the Tegra 1.
Beautiful device, by the way. Yeah.
Very well conceived. Very snappy, very fast.
Yeah, you can see
Tegra 2 even kicks it up a notch,
right.
And there's several tablets kind of being announced with the Tegra 2, and there's the idea that this is probably going to show up in some phones this year.
Wow, that's
well.
A lot of horsepower.
It's a lot of horsepower in a smartphone. So I think that's probably the most exciting thing, and it's kind of under the radar a little
Intel
bit.
Doesn't, they had the scale system, but they really don't have a lot of market share in this category.
They do not.
So they're trying hard. So what's
they
their
are.
Platform?
So the Morristown is their platform, which is really a competitor to the Snapdragon. And as far as the rumor mill goes, the rumor mill is the latest thing is that they probably lost out to Qualcomm Snapdragon for the Apple tablet.
Oh, the rumor mill. So Snapdragon, the rumor says Snapdragon will be in the whatever they call it, Ice Lake.
Yeah, yes.
So tell me about the Snapdragon. Now I want to know more about the Snapdragon. Is it an ARM processor?
It is. It's an ARM-based spec.
And so that doesn't surprise me since the iPhone has an ARM processor in it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It is a much more powerful ARM than we've seen before. So that makes sense, that it would be there. It could run, a netbook. And there are netbooks that run Snapdragon.
There are. Well, that's the U1 is a good example.
That's right.
Yeah.
So it also handles video, higher quality video, up
that's
to
really
HD
important.
Video in some
All
cases.
Of these devices now have to play back video at full frame rate.
Yeah.
Preferably 720p, maybe even 1080i video at full frame rate. That's critical.
Yeah. Okay, so now I've got a question for you, if I can turn it around on you.
Okay.
Can I, I've been going around asking all of our, thought leader friends this week, two questions.
All right.
And so can I flip the video, my flip video on, and ask you the same
All right.
two questions
sure.
I've been
asking Jason's going to interview me. Jason from TechRepublic.com. And where is this going to show up? On Tech
it's
Republic?
It's going to show up on Tech Republic. It'll also be on YouTube. I'm going to put the individual clips on YouTube. I'm going to pull them all together.
Everybody's
and publish
doing
them
video now.
And then I'll publish on Tech Republic and ZDNet the full compilation.
All
so
right.
I'm just going to ask you what was the most the interesting product that you've seen. New product you've seen?
Thanks for the warning. Let me think.
All right. Hey, you do this all the time. You can think on your feet better than anybody.
Yeah, I get asked. It's funny. I love the superlative questions. I get them all the time. What was the funniest? What was the dumbest? What was the silliest? What was the best? And, you know, I'm always have a hard time picking one. But I'll do for you. Just
Thank
for you,
Leo.
Jason. And
Thank
what's the other question, or do you want to surprise
the
me?
The other one is just trend. What
trend.
Is the most important trend you see gathering momentum
okay.
out
okay.
of CES?
All right. All right. I think I'm ready.
All right, let's do it.
All
just,
right.
Just start by saying your name.
Are you, and, so you're not going to say anything. I just have to.
I'm going to let you start by saying your. I'm Leo Laporte
okay.
of the Twit Network, and then I'll ask you the first
All right.
question.
I'm Leo Laporte of twit.tv. We're live right now at live.twit.tv. What do you want to ask me, Jason?
All right. So, Leo, what's the most impressive, most interesting new product you've seen so far at CES?
Well, you know, I haven't seen as much of CES as I'd like to. We've been broadcasting live. It's always the problem when you're covering CES.
It's
you don't get to see CES. But I did spend yesterday wandering around on the show floor, and I've been to all the parties and, you know, the unveilings and the small little press events.
Yeah.
So far, the thing I like the best was the Lenovo U1. This is a really interesting, you know, netbook-sized device. It's 3.5 pounds. It's got a Core 2 processor in it. Runs Windows 7. Very capable. Beautiful screen. But the thing that really is the eye-opener is when they detach the screen from the unit. Turns out it's just been a slate docked in where the screen would be. It's a gorgeous, very thin, gorgeous slate. About 10 inches. I think it's 10.5 inches. And it's running. Now, this is the thing that boggles my mind. It's not running Windows 7. It's not using the core processor. No, because the core processor is left behind in what is effectively the dock. It's a Snapdragon system running a version of Linux. And the cool part is, if you were on a web page surfing the web on Windows 7, it automatically knows this is where he was and picks up where you left off. This is a really cool way to use a slate. I'm really, you know, puzzled by what Apple could possibly do with their tablet.
Yeah.
Given if everybody's right that they're going to release a tablet at the end of the month, what could they do that would make it more compelling than the crap we've seen so far? This Lenovo is pretty good because you still get a keyboard, you still get a laptop, and if you have to head to the canyon, just attach the screen and take it with
you. It's like a two-for-one, too,
it's
right?
It's
like two computers
it's
for
a
the
twofer.
Price of one.
Yeah, and you're paying probably a lot more
That's
for
true.
It.
It's
but
true.
It's pretty cool. I'll give you one more thing that I've been really impressed with, and it's a product category, is these little Pico projectors, some small enough to fit on a cell phone. I mean, it's amazing. Samsung had a phone that they're making, and there are a number of projectors from HP and others that would go on the phone, so it would become a case for your phone, not much bigger, with either an LCD or, in most cases, a DLP chip in it, and you show it on the wall, your presentation's on the phone, and you could project. There's some that can go as big as 40 inches. Most of them are, you know, 8.5 by 11, like a sheet of paper, or a little bit bigger, depending on the darkness of the room. That's pretty cool. I like that idea.
That is pretty awesome.
Yeah.
Have you seen the BlackBerry Presenter?
Another
well.
One, very
Another
similar.
Like that, you plug it into your projector. You get
exactly.
in there wirelessly. You do,
HP has a small projector. It's a, you know, it's about this big. I mean, no, the days of the PowerPoint projector wheeling it in on a tray, that's gone.
It's
I mean,
over.
These things are tiny now.
Yeah, awesome. Okay, so how about what's the most important trend you see kind of developing out of CES? Because it is always the case where there are trends that develop that start here and go throughout the year.
You ask most people, they're probably going to say 3D. If you ask me, we're seeing the beginning of the end of 3D because I thumbs down. Everybody agrees.
Thank you.
3D sucks.
Thumbs down.
These guys are nuts spending so much money on it. I don't think it's a trend at all. What's clearly a trend is mobile computing, mobile power, getting out of the house, disconnecting from the internet, and yet still being connected no matter where you are. And this is really the beginning of the mobile era because these chips are small, powerful, low power. We're seeing very high-speed 3G networks. The clear 4G network that we're using here is pretty remarkable. That's WiMAX-based.
Yes.
You know, it's been mobile for a long time, but I think the whole idea of mobile computing tied to cloud computing and web apps is a real revolution. And I think that that's what's happening right now, and that's a significant revolution.
Excellent. Thanks, Leo. So where do people go to find you online?
Twit.tv, T-W-I-T. In fact, all you have to do is Google Twit, press I'm feeling lucky, and I'm the number one Twit on the internet.
Thanks, Leo.
Yeah, that's fun. There's a lot of trends you could say. I mean, I don't know if that's the best trend, but there are a lot of trends out there that you could say. I should have probably said, but it'd be a little self-serving, IPTV.
Yeah.
Huge here, isn't it?
What about content, your web content coming to the big TV?
Yeah.
That's really happening now.
Yeah, almost all these TVs now have DNLA. They have Ethernet in them. They almost all have ways like the Boxy Box or something like that that they can stream content.
Popcorn
Hour.
Voodoo. Are you guys on Voodoo?
I don't know if we're on Voodoo. We're on Popcorn and Yahoo Widgets and Roku.
Yeah.
We're on Boxy.
Oh, Roku, yeah.
So I don't know if we're on Voodoo. We could very well be on Voodoo.
If not, get somebody on that, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So Voodoo, what they're doing is they're going to integrate it with like Yahoo Widgets and stuff. So I guess you're already there.
We're already on MediaFly. Yeah. So yes. I think I have a feeling that we're going to be on every platform.
Yeah.
It's not so hard to do because we made this partnership with MediaFly and they're doing all the additional partnerships. So that's done
it's
very
true.
Well for us. We've been very
They'll
happy
take care
that.
Of a lot of it. That's,
yeah.
They, which is
90%
great.
Of it happens just by being on MediaFly. So, I mean, it's really clear that from the point of view of TV manufacturers, even now, apparently from the point of view of cable companies, internet-delivered content is here. It's at a parity with broadcast and cable. And that's very good news for people like me.
It is. Well, look what you guys have done on, you know, comparatively a shoestring budget compared to what the broadcast does,
absolutely
right?
Absolutely shoestring budget.
I mean, this is amazing. You know, streaming live. I mean, this is actually groundbreaking stuff, what you guys are doing right here.
It is. And, you know, I don't feel like it is. I feel like it's just an obvious continuation. And, in fact, some ways what I feel now is if we are going to start appearing on people's television screens in their living room, we've got to up the ante a lot higher because we're now competing with 30 Rock. We've got to look good.
True.
And, I've had kind of a down market style and kind of a deconstructed television, broken down the fourth wall. And so now I'm thinking, well, gosh, how well is that going to play on an HDTV in a living room? I don't know.
That's a good thought. So what do you think? What are some of the things you're thinking you guys might have to do?
Well,
or want to do?
We're limited. We don't have the budgets of CBS and CNET Interactive. I mean, we don't have those, million-dollar budgets. So we can't do the kinds of things that we would have to do to compete. So the question is, what's the minimum we need to do? Or maybe we shouldn't try at all. Maybe what we should be is kind of let your hair down, real people, rough product, rough production. And I don't know. We will be doing some upgrades to the hardware. It's going to be very expensive. We're talking about maybe $100,000 to upgrade the switcher, build a new studio, better lights, better facilities. In some ways, when you do stuff like we're doing right here, you're already pushing the quality level down because you've got to stream it in unknown conditions, and we don't have control of the lighting. We can't go do a light balance here because we've got weird mercury lights above us. So there's in a way you reduce your production values by doing what we're doing. On the other hand, the audience has been very positive. We just had the largest audience we've ever had on any stream we've ever done.
Wow!
So I think there is a market for what we're doing. It's a tough thing. I don't
you've
know,
proven
Jason.
Proven it already. I think. Right?
I don't know, Jason. It's very hard to know.
I think you've already got it. I mean, it's so real.
Yeah.
It's so authentic.
It's real. And I think people want real.
Yes.
And if you're a geek, you want content. And you're going to put up with the fact that maybe sometimes a stream gets broken or the audio is bad. I think you can live with it.
But it's unfiltered and there's no spin doctoring going on.
Well, there's plenty of spin doctoring, but there's nobody attempting to hide it, I guess, is the difference.
There you go. Okay.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
Hey,
fair
Jason,
enough.
Great to see you.
Good to
TechRepublic.com.
Yes, sir.
Are you here by yourself? You have a bunch of people down?
I am the only one from Tech Republic, but of course, CNET has a lot of people. ZDNet, I have a colleague, Andrew Nuska, who's here from ZDNet. I published on both Tech Republic and ZDNet.
But you're the guy that we pity, who's here and has to do it all.
Yeah, it's true.
All by yourself for Tech Republic. You've got to cover all this content. I don't know how you do it.
The good thing is I'm covering most of the stuff from a business angle.
Good. All
so
right.
That lets me filter out a lot.
Yeah, you can do the enterprise
yeah,
stuff.
Yeah, that helps.
Come so back and do Twit if you want. We're going to do it at 3:30 tomorrow.
I'm going to be on a plane, unfortunately. Aww. I would love to.
All right.
Sorry,
next
Leo.
Next time.
All right.
Thank you,
Thank
Jason.
You.
Great to see you. Jason Heiner. It is techrepublic.com. It's a pretty, as you might imagine, a pretty expensive enterprise for us to undertake. We brought a lot of people down here, 10 people here. Burke drove it all the way, drove all night to get here. We've got editors in the hotel, a very expensive hotel, I might add, but right next door, doing the editing. We've got Dane and Lisa and Frederick producing this. Dr. Kiki's here. You know, but it's fun, isn't it? I hope you're enjoying it. And I have to say, it makes me feel pretty good to know that we had the largest audience we've ever had for anything we've done at Twit. But it's one of the things, if you ask the folks at a place like CNN, when do you get the most viewership? It's when there's an event. That's when people tune in, when there's a big news story. For us, it's always been the case that when we're covering something big, a big story like an Apple announcement, or I guess now CES, that's when people watch. But I think it's very important for us to do this, as expensive and difficult as it is, because I think in the long run, you know, maybe if 10% of those new viewers come back, we can grow our audience. And I think that's pretty important for us. The video thing was a huge chance. This, you know, my Twit was really an audio network. In fact, that's all I thought I would ever be, is an audio podcast network. And when we decided to go video, it was a bit of a gamble. But I think that this has proven that we can do it and do it well, thanks to those great people. Thanks also to the folks in the chat room. It's been jammed all day. You know, we only have room for 1,000 people in our chat room. I apologize if you've had to go to a overflow room, but it's been jammed all day. You guys are great. It's really nice to have you there. I'm watching the chat room, so I get the feedback about what's going on. That's fantastic, too. So we really appreciate all the support. We couldn't do it without you. And I might as well put in a little plug that one of the things that I decided to do last month is not take any money out of Twit. You know, Twit is doing very well. I'm not going to hide it. We have a lot of sponsorship. They pay a top dollar to be on Twit. We're grateful to them. We're glad about that. But all that money goes to our Twit hosts, our staff, rent, bandwidth, lights, cameras. It's pretty expensive. And I've decided not to take a salary. So I'm not getting paid anymore by Twit. I'm getting paid by you. We still do accept contributions. You'll notice the tip jar on our Twit pages. That money goes directly into my pocket. That's what I get paid for doing Twit. And the reason we did that, we wanted to be some sort of direct coupling between our performance here and your donations, your contributions. So think about that. If you enjoy what we're doing, I'd appreciate a tip. I'm still going to do it even if you don't tip me. It sure feels good. Last month, we doubled the amount of contributions thanks to all the people who said, okay, we like what you're doing. We support it. And we want Leo to make a living. So I really thank you for all that. It went from about $9,000 a month to $20,000 a month. That's actually more than I expected. I probably won't take it all. I will keep it in an escrow account, so to speak, so that if it goes down to $2,000 a month next month, I'll at least have something to live on. So thank you very much. We really appreciate that.
Doing the Twit. All right. Doing the Twit, baby. Doing the Twit. All right. Doing the Twit, baby. Doing the Twit. All right.